Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points. Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh.
Well, you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me, as usual, is BZ Folk Thirte.
What up, though? What up, though? What up?
Nikki Doucet from the No Disrespect Podcast.
I'm taking a lot of L's this week, so y'all just going to pile on, nigga. I need to go to therapy after dealing with y'all this week.
You taking L's?
Yeah, frames per second with the power recaps what's coming up next with that conversation. I know y'all been trying to get me on.
I don't know. It's not like FIFA might have something to say about that. FIFA will be joining us. He's like, what time is it?
He's
about
like half,
20, yeah. Yeah, 20, 30 minutes away. But, you know, the show must go on, man. So we're going to go ahead and jump into it. Plus, we're on a bit of a tight schedule tonight, but we were not here last week, and we didn't want to go 2 weeks without giving you guys a show. Plus, just to give you guys an advance notice, that the NBA preview show will be Sunday, and that will drop on the podcast Monday. But we're going to try to do that live Sunday. So that's a bit of a programming notice there. And that's it, yeah, because basketball is back on Tuesday. And we're going to talk a little bit of basketball as well in terms of other stuff outside of what we should be talking about with that. So yeah, that's it. So we're going to go ahead and jump into it. I guess let's open up with baseball.
Believe it or not.
Baseball. Playoff baseball, the best time to watch.
What did y'all, speaking of baseball and speaking of just Georgia sports in general, what did y'all think about Atlanta giving up 10 runs in the first inning? I thought the game, like when I was like, I don't know, what was I doing? I think I was playing a game and I was like, I was playing PS4 and I was like, let me check the scores because I know it was baseball games going. And I was like, 10-1. I said, damn, Atlanta got their ass whooped. I said, it's probably like at the bottom of I'm thinking it was like the bottom of the eighth or something. I was like, first inning. I said, damn. What was going on with that pitching?
I was actually hyped for the Braves this like postseason. Because like they came in hot. Like
They really did.
And they I was like, okay, they might, you know, let's see what they do. Let's see if they get out of this wild card round. Man. they shit the bed like yes. No other.
Like what? Like as the words of good brother Kyle, they went lemon booty.
Lemon booty. There was no answer, man. And their bullpen, we know, was a problem. The bullpen, I think, cost them a game.
Yes.
When they were up. And
they could have finished it in game four. They had – actually, yeah, they had a chance to finish that game, their series in game four, and they mm-hmm. didn't.
I feel like it's my fault. I feel like all the teams that I picked lost.
Oh,
I picked the Twins. They got swept. They didn't even win a game.
Yeah, we did. We sure did pick the Twins.
I told you about them Yankees.
You did.
Yeah, but I didn't know that the Yankees owned the Twins. I didn't know they won like 13 straight.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know that going in.
Because on paper, I was like, at first I was like, oh, maybe New York. And then when Ken started telling me the players, I was like, wait a minute, he play on there? I was like, oh.
Yeah, you did. Because like, they had a lot of injuries. Yeah. And they got all them back they need them.
Yeah, should have been able to get them, but nah. So I want to take this time to issue an apology to Brother Kyle, 12 Kyle of the 12 Kyle podcast. I'm sorry I picked against your squad, man. He was wrong.
Mad, too. He was mad.
He was.
He might be mad about this upcoming round.
He might be.
The Astros ain't playing.
He's a loyalist. But, yeah, I meant to issue a public apology earlier, but I just want to go ahead and take the time to do it now. Who else lost? So the Braves lost to the Cardinals. The Twins got that smack. The Dodgers.
That was the one that really shocked me.
Everybody, I think.
That was the probably the biggest upset.
Because I think they were like, I think across the board, everybody was picking Dodgers. Like, yeah. Dodgers, Dodgers. I think all of us did. We was like, Dodgers.
I mean, it's
like,
a no-brainer pick.
It's a no, yeah, it's a no-brainer pick. So it was like, damn.
That's on Dave Roberts. And I know we in the group chat, we kind of go back and forth with Manny a little bit. Shout out to Manny of the Any Given Sunday podcast. Manny. You know, he be in there talking crazy too. But he follows baseball heavily. He blames Kershaw. And, you know, I understand the logic. Like, if you're supposed to be the best pitcher of this generation, you can get through one inning.
But right? What? But hasn't he been known for not being clutch? Like,
there we go.
Isn't yes, like yeah. for years.
There we go.
So it was like,
he's
why?
Been kind of like that. He was like Alex Rodriguez. Remember when Alex Rodriguez first got to the Yankees and mm-hmm. stuff? It was like, yeah, he's great. But when the time matters the most, Alex Rodriguez never came. It was always Derek Jeter that was coming through.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why, you know, people in New York still hate him to this day. They spit on his name. Same thing with the Dodgers is going to be with Kershaw. Like, it's
damn,
I just never.
But he's such a professional. He's a good pitcher. He is.
Nobody want to hear that
nobody
shit.
I know.
Nobody want to hear that shit. You know why he's so good at it?
Why?
Because he's had to do it every goddamn year. He had plenty of practice.
He said, you know why he's so good at it? Yeah, man. Damn.
So you feel bad for him?
I do.
A little bit. I feel a little bit. And you know what I hate when I see people? People are trash. Like burning his jerseys up and
that come with a territory,
nah,
B.
Man,
that
you
come
can't do
with
that.
A territory.
That's new
whack.
Age shit.
Yeah,
it,
that's
it is
whack,
new
bro.
It is new age, that's but whack. It comes with a territory. If you the king, when you win the games, they throw you up on the arms, you know what I'm saying?
That shit started with LeBron.
You can get a brew at any bar.
Why white people always burning shit? You know what I'm saying? Why? Every time when I see people burning shit, burning jerseys and stuff, I always see the Caucasians.
White listeners in the chat, give us an answer.
Like, every time.
They love fire, man.
I mean, like, what is
they
it?
They love fire.
What is it about fire that I always, if they mad about something, they're going to set it on fire.
It goes back to the caveman days. That's the first thing they invented.
They just keep
going
fire.
I thought that was us. But anyway, but no, yeah, they burn witches.
How about say
they
that
burn black folks?
Black people.
They do like to burn a lot of
they
shit.
They do like to burn a lot. Have you seen that cycle? I'm like, wait
burn
a minute.
Burn crosses.
Yeah, they burn crosses.
Burn books.
Yeah, books, everything. God damn, you right, B.
See?
We ain't burning shit. Cause,
hell
you
no.
Know, but no, so you kind of get where I was going. Like, if you have this history in the postseason as a manager, you cannot put him in those critical situations.
But he's the guy, right?
The ace.
In you the have regular season.
A but if they would have lost that without him, they, you know, the manager's getting fired. He might get fired regardless.
He might get fired regardless. But he could defend that decision. He could defend it any way. He could be like, look, this is the best pitcher. Like, I got to put him in. But he's not as great as he was when he was messing up. Like, he's taking a step back because of injuries. He's had back problems, et cetera, et cetera. But it's mentally for him. You give up back-to-back home runs. Like, the worst thing you could do is to give up the second home run to tie the game. But if he got the one out that you needed, great. That's fine. You don't have to bring him up for the eight. Bring in Kenta Maeda, whatever Ivy said. Or go to your closer, Kenlin Jensen,
but
and let him get two
But
outs.
They might think he hot. You know what I mean? Like, if
he wasn't, though.
He was. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, you don't know when it starts. You don't never know when it starts.
No. We knew because I think he pitched in, like, the first or second game, and he gave up three runs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lot because he normally gets shelled in the playoffs. But so it was better than usual. But it's the last game, and I understand you. First of all, I disagree with this whole strategy of using the bullpen and using your starters to pitch bullpens. In the last game, maybe. But I think in the playoffs, they lose their mind with this shit. Like that's why I love what the Astros are doing. Like, they say, we got Verlander, you go out and get me 6 or 7. We got Garrett Cole, you go out and get me 6 or 7. They let their pitchers pitch. Other teams get out there and say, all right, you give me 2 or 3, I'm going to bring in this other guy. And you're trying to patch together 9 innings. You know, so my thing is, like, is you have a 2-run lead. He got you out of a situation. You probably should have let Walker stay in anyway because, I don't know, it seemed like he was dealing. And then you go to your bullpen. You bring in Maeda, who worked because he's used to working out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. He's been working out of the bullpen all season. You have him give you an inning, which he did later on anyway because he had to relieve Kershaw. And then you go to your closer. Or you bring your closer in for 2 innings, which he's done in the postseason.
But if he's, but again, I agree with everything you're saying, but if he is known and has the history, not history of being that guy as far as the postseason, but that guy in general, you got to play your best players. That's what any coach, any manager will do. They'll say, I played my best players.
But you also got to put him in the best position to succeed.
That is
right?
Correct as well.
He did not do that. And he knows the history. Baseball is a lot about statistical data, and you take that data and you make your decision based on the history of what it's telling you. That's why they bring in a lefty to face a guy that can't hit a lefty, or a righty to face a guy that can't hit a righty. That's why they do all this mixing and matching because of it. So if you know that when he gets to the playoffs, he just can't perform, why put him – that's not putting him in the best position to succeed, and you're setting yourself up for failure. That falls on him. Kershaw has underperformed in the postseason his whole career. He has to get those outs. He cannot give up two back-to-back home runs. He can't do that. Not as the best pitcher in the league. You expect better out of him. But you know that he's prone to do it, so why chance it?
So who do you place more blame on? The man?
Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts. Like, when I looked at the box score, because I didn't see the game, and I saw Kershaw gave up those two runs, it did not surprise me at all. First thing was, like, why he's in there? And then I hit the group chat. I was like, he got to go. The Dodgers got to get rid of him because he is not helping them in the times that they need the help the most.
And their window is closing. Their window is definitely – because I think their window was only open because they spent all that bread to get him to sign all those players.
With him, because I think Walker can pitch and a couple of other guys they got this kid named May that is coming along. I don't know how great he will be. We'll have to see that play out over a couple of seasons. But Walker came on last year. He had a great year this year. Mm-hmm. So they got some guys that can replace as the ace. As we've seen, you know, baseball. Baseball is weird like that. You don't need – you just need to catch fire.
Exactly.
So you don't need a dominant ace anyway. You know, but it helps, as in what we're seeing with the Nationals, who are up, what, 7-0 right now? Mm-hmm. And they got Strasburg. They got Matt Scherzer.
7-2 now.
7-2. You know, and baseball's weird. That's not over. You can't – the Cardinals.
Well, they was up 7-0.
What inning is it?
It was at the end of the third. They were up 7-0. So it's only the top of the fifth.
Okay. But, you know, baseball is such a weird sport. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
So you never know. So no game is really over. But for the most part – they should win that.
Is it going to be Nationals' first time in the World Series?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
Well, yeah, let me see.
But I thought I saw that. I meant to check it before we came on board. But either way it goes. So, but the Nationals is an example of that. Like, I didn't think they should beat the – who did they play in the first round? The Nationals.
The Nats played –
was it the Astros?
Mm-mm. Nah, they play the Brewers.
The Brewers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 But here they are. But nevertheless, they're hot. And they got two guys that can be aces, you know, that can easily go out and get you two wins. Mm-hmm. When you look at the Astros, who are up, what are they up right now? Or did they win? You say they won.
The Astros beat the Yankees. They're up 2-1.
Yeah. So they lost their first game, but I don't think Verlander pitched in that one. No, yes, I don't know. They lost the first game 7-7 something. And then they dogs came in, man. And, you know, Gerrit Cole is that nigga, man. Like, I didn't believe in him because he was buried in Pittsburgh, I think. But since he came to the Astros, and most pitchers when they come to the Astros, they just – that pitcher staff is crazy. But I heard somebody say he was the best pitcher in the league. They might be right.
The Nats and the in Seattle – the Mariners, they have never been to the World Series.
Wow.
They're only two teams out of the whole league.
Wow, they never played in the World Series.
Never played in the World Series.
And Nationals is how many innings away?
They are, yeah, they're about four innings away.
Wow, that's
crazy. It's 7-4 now, so the comeback is on the way.
Uh-oh. Damn, it went to 7. It was just 7-2.
7-2, yeah.
Yeah, it's top of the fifth.
That's baseball for you, man. That's baseball for you.
Baseball is weird. But they have a 3-0 lead, but again – most times, you know, you have a 3-0 lead, you're going to win that.
Don't say that because the Reds had a 3-0 lead up on the one time. What was it? I think it was the Pirates.
Only seen it happen once, or I think, or 3-1 lead. I remember when the Mets came back. Was it the Mets?
I remember Red Sox came back, I think, on
the
Yankees.
That was it, the Red Sox. Yeah. Man, that was great. Ooh, that was good baseball. Sorry, Kyle. But, man, because right. I was a Red Sox fan. But, yeah, this at home, too. But – either way, they still got Matt Scherzer, who's damn near unhittable, and they got Strasburg. Now, in a situation that was like that, you can, especially if it's game five,
right?
You know, you can have them pitch, you know, the whole damn game and split it up. But they got three. But we were talking earlier, about it's interesting that they may get to the World Series without
their, Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper.
The year they just let him
crazy.
Go. That's just
that
insane.
Is crazy.
And yeah. they up 3-0 at that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Yeah, the Astros got to Severino. Damn, that was their good pitcher. And Gerrit Cole. See what I mean? Seven innings, no runs. He had five walks, but, you know, the Yankees are a tough lineup. Mm-hmm. Seven strikeouts. But they won. He didn't get cute. He was like, you go give me seven. And then I'll bring somebody in for this eighth, and I'll bring somebody in for this ninth.
Yep.
And that's it. You know, so either way it go. But yeah, all my picks were wrong. I just wanted to say that, you know, publicly. But I think we're in for hopefully some history being made. And I will probably be pulling for the Nationals.
So. Yeah, just because it's their first time. Mm-hmm. I'm root for them automatically.
With baseball, I'm all about history. I like to see history.
Yeah,
what,
like,
what do you think the World Series is most likely going to be? The two teams.
I don't.
Nationals and Yankees.
I might say Astros, Nets.
I'm Astros. Once they got, they traded for somebody else. Hold on. Who did they trade for?
Astros?
Yes. Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and they made a trade for another. I think we had, because I think they can go four deep.
Oh, like four aces?
Yeah. But I think that's why I got them. But that Yankees lineup is no damn joke. But they
did they trade with the Cubs to get that was this back in the summer, though, in exchange for Tony Kemp?
Nah. It's a pitcher.
I mean, yeah, you know, trade deadline is July 31st.
Yeah, it's a pitcher. I'm trying to get to this roster. But yeah, I'll look it up.
Oh, Aaron Sanchez?
Nah, it wasn't him, but he pitched the gym. I'm trying to get to their roster, but I think
with the Yankees, it's like I know they're a stacked team, but right now it's just like they were hot last year too. That's when I think Aaron Judge had that breakout year, but it just fell apart towards the end. Like, they couldn't really close it out, and I think right now with how the Astros play, like, I don't know. They always got some type of juice. They always get up for anybody, especially the big boys.
Yeah, so, like the Yankees.
They
going to get them?
I think they might.
Even with Yankee in full strength?
I think even with Yankee at full strength, I think the Astros, because they got that experience and everything.
No, I think we're looking at
But Yankees this it's interesting because I was listening to the Bill Burr podcast, and he was saying, like, the Yankees, like, pretty much – going back to, like, the early 1900s, have always won a World Series in, like, every decade. I think they didn't win one in, like, the 80s, maybe, 70 or the 80s, one of those decades. Mm-hmm. But every decade they've won one. So if they don't win one this year, this will be, like, one of the first decades they haven't won.
Oh, the 2010 to 2019.
Exactly. So if they don't make it this year and win it all, that'll be another one, another decade, or the first decade that they've never won.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's how much success. They got 27.
That much success, yeah. 27 World Series
titles?
That's crazy. Franchise, that's crazy.
Zach Greinke was, I think, is the one that got. Yeah,
that he got.
Someone
just said in the chat, too. Someone said Zach Greinke.
Yep. Yeah, Zach Greinke. Yep. So, man, that's 3-4 deep right there. What are you going to do with that? Like, he can go out and get you a throw your complete game. And pitching, be hitting, at least that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on what side of the fence you're on. But, so, yeah, so I think – and we've seen evidence of that. You know, we saw Gerrit Cole went out and shut him down. You know, so – but Zach Greinke can be got. But anyway. But, yeah, so that's that. So I got the – I think Astros. Mm-hmm. When they got Greinke, I was like, yeah, they'll be back in. I don't want to see them back in. I would like to see fresh blood.
I want to see the Yankees.
But I don't want to see the damn Yankees.
I want to see them in there. Sometimes you just want to see
– It's going to be Yankees and Nationals.
That's great for TV ratings, too. DC versus New York.
That is. That's good. I'm pretty sure MLB would like to see
Yeah,
that.
Definitely.
Yeah, they would. Anyway, so that's our Major League Baseball talk. So let's jump into this NFL.
Yeah, I forgot. Damn, we didn't cover last week at all. So I guess with this week six recap, we'll bring up some stuff from last week. The first question I got for y'all is pretty much, can the Pats really compete for a chip this season? And I asked that question because it sounds like a stupid question because they're undefeated still.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, they lost one. They 5-1. Packers.
Pats, not the Packers.
Oh, I'm sorry, New England.
They undefeated, and they've been crushing everybody. I think they've got the biggest point differential since the greatest show on turf.
Man, I know all I want to say is the pass defense is the best fantasy player this year in 2019. man, every single week. Can I tell you, we got the Patriots defense in one of our leagues. They put up like at least a 28 spot every week or more, every single week. I'm like, what is this defense doing to be having? You got to do a lot.
But you know what it is, B?
What?
Playing garbage ass teams.
That's what I was gonna say because the reason why I'm asking why can they really win a chip is because
so real quick, I'm about to give a quick since they've been playing this season.
Yeah, go ahead.
So 33-3 against the Steelers.
Okay,
that's week one. 43-0 against the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
30-14 against the Jets. 16-10 against the Bills. And then 33-7 against the Redskins. 35-14 against the Giants.
All those are lottery pick teams for the most part.
And then they play the Jets this Monday night, upcoming Monday.
Easy money.
And those are and a chunk of their schedule is always an easy division.
And then they play the Browns after that at home.
And the Browns are cheeks this season.
Then they play the Ravens.
So can they? So like, if
what was the question?
Can they really win the championship this season?
Yes, because they have Belichick.
Yes,
or I was gonna say yes because they're gonna get a first round bye.
Right,
but they're gonna get home field advantage.
Yes, and then they got Belichick.
So my thing, you know, my whole theme this year is like, let me see them play competition. We've seen what they look like against the defense. How would they look like against that Packers defense? We don't know.
The only two teams that show that they can like draw some blood from them is this past Giants game and then obviously that Bills game. To me, if they have a different
first half,
but that obviously the defense helped out the offense because they couldn't really do anything. Brady had sack fumble. They had an interception. That pass rush was like getting to him.
You can get to them. Yeah,
and it's always been the way with Brady. Yeah. If you got a good front four and you put pressure on him, he's gonna dance like a ballerina.
Yeah, passes got an easy schedule.
Yeah,
and they're the Super Bowl champs.
I've been saying that all year.
The hardest.
They got an easy schedule. They just got an easy schedule, man.
They got an easy division. So,
that too.
So do you think they'll actually go far in the playoffs? Because they only got to win two games to get to the Super Bowl.
If they play Kansas City, that's a soft defense right now.
Right.
So yeah, I think they can walk to the playoffs because I don't think they're going to face any competition in AFC.
Yeah, the Chargers.
A tough defense outside of the Ravens?
Yeah, they got Jets, Browns, Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys. Who they've been falling off. Texans, Chiefs, Cincinnati, Bills, and then they finish the season off with the Dolphins. They finish the season off with the Dolphins. They can probably go 15-1. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
What's the loss?
Maybe the Chiefs. Maybe, or maybe the Texans.
I was gonna say Chiefs or Texans.
Yeah, and then they play them back to back.
Yeah.
So it might be the Chiefs or the Texans. They can probably go 15-1.
Are they on a
14-2 at worst? On the road, they on the road against the Texans, but they at home against the Chiefs.
Okay.
And they can lay an egg easy.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust the coach.
I say 14-2 at worst, possibly based on the schedule.
And then the AFC, when you look at the playoffs team, I don't really see a
threat. I don't trust nobody.
So
outside of Baltimore, I don't trust nobody.
Because, I mean, do we really trust Pat Mahomes? Because has he really won, like, big-time games?
He has.
What big-time games he won?
He won the that Denver game where he threw left-handed. That was a big-time game.
Was it a
playoff
team?
Game, though?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, are you talking about clutch moments? Because he only had one season to go off.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, just let's look at him. Like, the big important games. Last year when he played Patriots, weren't they undefeated? No, it was the Rams that was undefeated.
Yeah.
Lost that game.
They lost against the Pats.
In the regular season and in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game.
But he's made some game-winning drives since then.
Not against tougher competition.
Not against tougher competition. That's what I'm saying. I think he's probably, like,
then
1-4 against like top notch competition.
I think that's what we need to look at because
that's what I'm saying. But
didn't he beat the Colts when they was hot last year in the playoffs? Even granted, it was at home.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. 1-4, maybe.
Well, yeah,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. What up?
See if you can go around that way.
What up?
We just started.
Got you right here, brother.
We just got finished talking.
Right now we're trying to really see how good Mahomes really is when it comes to playing quality competition. B's saying that he's 1-4.
He's like 1-4 against like
playoff teams, and he just lost the last two.
Okay,
I'm trying to help him out. I'm just trying to say, like, he's only got one season to go off. So what do you mean by
that? Remember when I said, does he really have talented weapons on that squad?
He does. And they're injured. And also, look, let's look at some of the context, right? Because last year, they should have beat the Patriots.
They should have.
They were one penalty away that had nothing to do with the offense from beating that team.
So he's 0-2 against the Patriots.
And he's played well in all of those games. They haven't lost because of Mahomes, because he didn't perform. So to me, you're going to put a loss, especially on a quarterback, when they don't perform. Right, there's a team that they're supposed to beat, right? Like, were they supposed to beat the Patriots last year?
I'll give you that pass because I think they should. We look at Rodgers in the same way when
he about that Rams game last year, and both undefeated.
And Rams and that both teams scored 50 points. That's on Mahomes. Tell me,
but he didn't win that game, though.
No, I understand that. No. And the record is the record. And you know me, I'm about numbers. The record is the record. But the context says
people coming in this bitch hot.
Hot. Hot. I was doing 120 the whole way. Like, I want to see this man's face here, boy.
He going to abuse me later on.
This 100. Is great.
100. This is great. But look, no, all I'm saying is this. The record is the record. I'm not trying to absolve, you know, the fact that he hasn't won in big games. I'm not trying to say that. Right, it is what it is. You can make that argument against them, but I ask you to look at one of those games and look at his numbers or watch the film and tell me what possessions he had
where he choked,
he didn't come up big, where it was him and the offense's fault why they didn't win the game.
Does his story kind of sound the way you're saying it? Sounds like Aaron Rodgers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. To a degree,
it sounds like
to a degree.
It's not on him. But then when you keep adding up these losses to good teams,
but Aaron Rodgers has done what Mahomes.
No, I'm just saying. I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers of the last 5 years.
Well, just even because that was one of the things I said. It sounds like
yesterday.
Yeah. It sounds like we're acknowledging like the deficiencies that he's had to play under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, subpar defense in some of those games, because Rodgers have lost games where his defense has been terrible. But Rodgers have also overcome those.
Yeah.
Mahomes is very young, so he has to kind of learn and grow. But so I acknowledge the context, but I'm with B 100% where it's something that I'm going to start monitoring.
Of course. And you know what? Like, I feel that Mahomes and all the elite players.
I'm not saying he
has. No, 100%. No. I'm not.
I was on the train. I was on the train. You said what?
Wow. Let's not go there, Ken.
You said what?
He said Deshaun is better than
him. It's a conversation.
No,
but I'm saying like.
No, it is a conversation. So I'm not all the way dismissing that because Deshaun Watson is
I got to see what he do this year in the playoffs. Like if they make it to the playoffs.
No, they're going to make it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I got to see.
All I know is he just beat Mahomes.
I got to see what.
He did, and he wasn't sacked. You know he's 7-0 when he's not sacked in the game.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yes. I want to see what Watson going to do in the playoffs.
I'll put it to you like this. There's certain – the one biggest thing that I say Deshaun has more than Mahomes
big
is
time.
That clutch gene.
I would say that big time.
That clutch gene?
He's a big time.
I think he's – outside of Brady, six Super Bowl. Hey, somebody, not, he on another stratosphere.
He's bad.
Yeah.
We don't mention that name.
Yeah, yeah. We can't mention that name. But everybody else in the league, Deshaun Watson I think is the most clutch quarterback.
He's a mess. More so than Russell Wilson. I'm about to say Russell Wilson. Dangerous been doing it for a while,
all right,
too.
You know what?
It's time.
I'll put Russell over him. Just because of history.
Russell Wilson.
He's proven.
Russell Wilson is what?
The best quarterback in the NFL right now.
He's playing, yes. He's playing like it.
This season, yes. He's playing lights out.
He's playing
out.
Like it.
That's the one time. This is probably the one time we all agree.
That's not a hot take. It was simmering. Yeah.
It would have been a hot take week one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming in week one saying he's going to be the
all today. I would agree.
Because I've always said he's top three.
Going into week seven, he's playing MVP caliber.
He's the best quarterback right now.
All right, y'all. Throw water on the shit. I'm glad we all together, brothers.
Yeah, see?
But yeah, man. Because, I mean, you look at his offensive weapons and what he's doing, those clutch moments, overcoming, coming back on
the throws he's been making.
Come on, man. Like,
he's been a little lucky because time has run out. Granted, but at the same time,
Tom Brady has been lucky, he put you
in a position to win.
100.
If the defense shows up,
I got to give it to him. I've been hard on the brother, but I got to give it to him.
So let me ask you something, Ken.
Best quarterback in the league.
Let me ask you something, Ken.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just saying, right? Like, let's talk context, because I like context, especially when it comes to football.
All right.
Pete Carroll has come up big in big games, yes or no?
Coaching, yes.
He's also drafted very well, especially on the defensive side, yes or no?
Yes, he's done a good job of retooling that defense.
Can we say the same for Andy Reid?
No.
As far as drafted in general?
in general. Offensively, I give Andy Reid the
he drafts well when? According to his offensive personnel.
Wow. Like it just like this just happened.
Are you looking at the breaking news?
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to get to that.
Wow. Wait, hold on. Let me look at all
these. Wait, hold on. Did Andy Reid draft Marcus Peters?
Look at all those picks. That's crazy.
Probably. Nah, he signed him. Oh, Marcus Peters.
No, he
Peters?
Did. He did draft him.
Yeah, no, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Cuz he they left him they traded mm-hmm. him out for his mm-hmm. rookie contract.
Yeah, Marcus. Now, I was just seeing the Rams and you said Marcus Peters, so I just
No, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying like Andy Reid had Marcus Peters, he mm-hmm. drafted
Did he draft Dawkins? Or was he there when he got to
Did finish? He draft D Ford and the other guy?
Nah, D Ford signed as a free agent.
Yeah. Justin Houston was there before he got there, right?
Okay. I don't know.
And Eric Berry, he was there before he got there.
I can't keep track of it.
Yep.
So it's mostly offense. Yeah.
So the reason why I bring that up is that, you know, Russell Wilson, in context, puts you in position to win.
Yes.
But that defense and that coaching get you over the top in those quote-unquote lucky scenarios.
But there were moments when that defense for the Seahawks were not great.
And how did they overcome? Russell Wilson put them in position to win.
Against good teams.
And Pete Carroll.
Bend don't break.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is that let's just look at the history. Andy Reid, we can't say the same for. No. In those big moments, him and his coaching staff, regardless if it's penalties or this, that, and the third, they don't win those slim margins of error. They just don't.
It's his second year. He's you know, it's going to take time because Russell Wilson wasn't doing that as well. Well, he had the Legion of Boom.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. No. Just like Ben Roethlisberger, right? Mm-hmm. Like he came in with a run game and a defense.
Brady
right?
the same way.
Brady the same way. Yep. But what I'm saying is in those other scenarios, the coaching, right, got those slim margins of victory. And we can't say the same for Mahomes and Andy Reid.
I've always said Andy Reid is more Mike D'Antoni. Like, he's the Mike D'Antoni of the NFL. Like
I would agree with that.
He's phenomenal offensively as far as a genius.
Well, I don't want to – I want to come back to that at some point because I'm trying to figure out when did that transition happen because I don't know if he was known as that guy when he was in Philly.
No, I think – not at the beginning. I think that once he got T.O., right, and they kind of went away from the Deuce Staley era mm-hmm. of Philly and all of that, and they got the T.O. and they had
Brian Westbrook.
They had a squad.
They had a dumb squad. Yeah,
Brian Dawkins.
C.J. McAllister, the corner. Asimov. Was he on that squad? No, he wasn't on that squad. No, he wasn't. That was way after. The Terrell Owens Eagles. Squad. But either way, at the end of the day, Andy just doesn't get you over the hump, right? So, like, when we're looking at the Mahomes and the Russell Wilsons of the world, what's the differentiator, right? Like, it's coaching. It's the staff. It's the slim margin of victory.
He on watch. He on watch, B. I'm with you.
Mahomes is on watch. Has the NFL figured out Mahomes?
Nah.
I don't think so.
On a two-game? So. It could have been a three with the Lions. That close as far as that game winning drive he did, yep. They could be 3-0 like in the last 3 weeks.
I mean, 0-3. Yeah, I don't want to say no. I don't want to say yes. I got to wait. Tyreek Hill's been hurt.
And if you look at the games, like that Oakland game, they were down early, and he had a miraculous. Yeah. He probably had a historic second quarter, and then they didn't score after that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
defense has been bad.
Mm-hmm. Sammy Watkins has been out.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins out. Andy Reid don't know what the hell he's going to do with the running game. You know, with LeSean McCoy and David.
They just got three backs.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Is 49ers for real?
Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Look at they. Look,
Jimmy
who they,
G,
who
5-0.
Go look at who they play, B. Tell me if they for real.
Okay, so.
They beat the Rams.
So week one.
Look at who they play, B. Tell me if they for real.
The Rams put 7 points.
Week one, Buccaneers.
Which they're a lot better, by the way.
Yeah.
Week two, Bengals. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. 0-7.
And we take it for Tua.
Week 3, Steelers.
Man. Backup quarterback.
Week 4.
But that Steelers game, they had 5 turnovers, and they still won that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how bad the Steelers are.
And week 4, the Browns beat them 31-3.
Okay, that's the Browns.
And then this past week, the 49ers.
That was the first test for me with them beating the Rams.
And they play the Redskins this upcoming Sunday.
See, look, they got an easy schedule too.
But we know why they have easy schedules, right? Like, the better you play that previous year, the harder your schedule is.
But and we didn't know the Browns and the Steelers.
But B's question is, are they for real?
I think they're for real. That defense looked like
that defense is for real because they got all first rounds in the front seven.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you're going to have – they better pop.
How many turnovers does Jimmy G have this season?
He has a couple of
turnovers.
He probably got like
fumbles.
Yeah, like four or five maybe. I don't know. He hasn't been perfect. He's still working his way back.
He's been good when he needs to be. And, but you know what?
Jimmy G, you said?
Yeah.
He got five interceptions.
Okay.
Fumbles? Or how many fumbles?
I have to search.
He's only got seven touchdowns, by the way, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. But do you see that running game? That running game, Tevin Coleman? And who drafted Tevin Coleman? Kyle Shanahan and them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then who's the other back?
One fumble loss.
So
Matt Breida or something like
Breida. Yeah, Breida. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So you talking about the quarterback got, you know, five or less turnovers total. And how many games? Seven games now in the season? You're talking about a two-headed running attack. And we're talking two-headed running attack that is speed first, but they're not afraid of the power either.
Right.
That can catch out the backfield. And then you're talking about a head coach that is an offensive guru that puts his young quarterback, because remember, he has less starts than Baker Mayfield does Jimmy G. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're talking about putting a young quarterback in positions to maximize what he does best. They don't ask him to do what he can't do yet. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's why the 49ers are for real. Now, am I saying they're Super Bowl contenders? I'm not saying that.
Are they playoffs?
They should make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but that NFC West.
That division is
crazy, bro.
The Rams may not make the playoffs.
I don't think the Rams make the playoffs. But do we see three teams out of one division?
In the NFC, period?
Yeah, like, because I
see the NFC North.
Because who's in the NFC West? It's
Seattle,
Arizona. Rams, Arizona, and 49ers.
So then it'll be two.
Yeah.
And they already got the Rams.
Possibly,
they
too.
Play them again.
Because the NFC's stacked.
And that was on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Rams were at home?
Yeah, but that's a division game, so it don't really matter.
But going on the road?
It's a road win, but.
Yeah, Rams at home.
Yeah, so that means they got to come back to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They better get Gurley right.
Ain't no getting Gurley right.
You think he's done?
He's damaged goods at this point.
I think he's done. Come on, man. Look. First of all, Gurley got hurt when? Like, kind of beginning of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Like, or I would say towards the end of the season. Yeah.
Toward the end of the season, beginning of the playoffs. Yeah, yeah. But he still had enough juice, though, right?
Something.
Squeeze a little something. But when he got to that Super Bowl, he ain't look like
we
him.
We all said it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then we see him at the Super Bowl, didn't look like him. Okay, cool, you got the offseason. Had all offseason. Did he play preseason? He ain't play no preseason.
Nobody
first
did.
Couple games? What, five carries a game?
Low management.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He don't look right. If he ain't right by now, he not going to get right. This was football.
Mm-hmm. And golf, your once top 10, top 8 pick or player, Nick, needs Gurley.
He need a run game.
He
needs a run game.
You know, I'll give you that, but he needs something. He cannot do it by himself.
He can't do it with his arm.
And I might be wrong, but, you know, numbers always stick out to me. I want to say, and I know I saw this earlier in the season, but I want to say last year out of play-action passing, and y'all can facts only mean, you know, everybody that's watching and stuff like that, but I want to say last year in play-action passes, Jared Goff completed, like, close to over 70% of his throws. Mm-hmm. This year, 40-something, barely 50.
Yeah,
out of play action.
Because if you ain't got nothing to be scared about with the run game,
but 100%. But that was a big part of what Sean McVay wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they figured him out. This is third year. The offense,
and remember, you were talking about this when we was playing Madden. You was like, bro, they really only got what, three formations,
two formations. Yeah. Look, when it works, but you need people to make a certain system work. He don't have Gurley.
But going into that, the way Sean McVay relies on play action that heavily, which obviously you have to have a run game before you even can do that stuff, for it to be successful, then that means he needs to switch up his offense.
He does a little bit. But it's not solely just based off of eye formation or, you know, split back or anything. He also incorporates a lot of jet sweeps. He incorporates a lot of motion, which I like in his offense.
Only to confuse the defense, though. 100%. It doesn't really, it really just be simple shallow cross or like, you know, couple, you know, slanting over here, but it's just like, oh, all right, move this player over here so it looks like I'm doing something different.
Of course, it's the beauty of the NFL, right? It's chess. Like, I keep setting you up to get what I really want. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get this jet sweep, then I'm gonna fake the jet sweep and give it a girly, then I'm gonna fake the jet sweep and throw it, then I'm gonna give the jet sweep, and then I'm gonna play action and I'm gonna go take my shot long. Like, so that's part of football. That's part of offensive genius and game planning. You know what I'm saying? The execution. He just don't have his back. He don't have his horse.
Yeah.
He needs a horse. Now, here's the thing. I think Cleveland has what three running backs? Chubb. He's on a rookie Kareem deal. He ain't going. Kareem Hunt's on a 1-year deal, right?
I think so.
If they can get a guy like a Kareem Hunt in the free agent market next year, they'll be back to it. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, they're going to have to eat Gurley's contract at some point.
78 yards total passing. They were lighting him up.
Bro, 7 points.
Well, first of all, his offensive line has been shit, too. Because, like, the way the Niners got to him, like, he couldn't even do.
But, that might be more Niners than.
That's what I was going to say.
That's why I mentioned they got their front seven is all first-round picks. You got Nick Bosa. You got Solomon Thomas. You got some dudes up there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they obviously going into the season, the Rams, I don't know if they lost the offensive line or they're injured on their line, but it showed. Like, he couldn't, and you know, Goff is like a statue. He's not a dual threat quarterback. So
5-0, Jimmy G.
All right, yeah, you gonna keep on riding that Jimmy G train.
Hey man,
we'll wait to see. Will Cam be traded before the deadline?
No,
because don't nobody want him. Really? Who want him?
Oh, wow. They said the market is
somebody wanted him. Shit, the Bengals, Cincinnati would definitely take him.
I got two words: Carmelo. All
right, he over here.
I don't think he'll be traded because this
Carmelo
out the league.
He disrespected me.
You don't think nobody want him now?
Man, look at his numbers. Look at his numbers. You know he
0-8.
In his last 9 games.
Yeah, in his last nine games. You know this man has more interceptions than touchdowns. You know he's completing 54% of his passes, bro. Who wants that? He is damaged good. We talking about Todd Gurley. Cam Newton is in a worse situation.
You're saying
than Todd
he's damaged goods. He's 100. Done. He will never 100. Be.
You know why?
You know why?
Because even when he was healthy, was he a high completion type of quarterback?
Mm-mm.
No. He relied on his athletic ability.
He was getting there, though.
He got better under Norv. But that's the Norv Turner effect.
That was for like 6 games.
Exactly. We're talking Cam Newton himself, the core player. He is not a high completion percentage quarterback.
He's not.
He is an athletic big quarterback that would rather run a linebacker over than trying to slide. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He is no longer going to be a valuable asset in this league. Who is going to take a mediocre completion percentage quarterback and turn him into something that's great when his main problem, his main injury is his right shoulder? He ain't going to have the touch on the ball no more, which he barely had touch. He had a gun. He don't have the gun no more. He was already a low completion quarterback that now cannot even fit the balls into those tight windows anymore. What is he then?
I don't think they'll trade him because, I mean, Kyle Allen is still what, his second year. So, yeah, it looks cute now. But if you do get to the playoffs or you do get hurt, what are you going to do? Who are you going to go to?
Kyle Allen's what, 4-0 or 5-0?
5-0.
5-0.
You can't knock 5-0, though.
And that's why, like, even
he's
if Cam.
Well. I can't knock
him. Yeah, and even if Cam comes back and he says he's 100.
You can't knock 5-0.
Yeah, this dude playing. Let him have 2 bad games. Okay, you might want to go back to Cam and just see what it looked like.
Yeah.
But Cam go out there and he throw a lame duck. Hey, bro, come.
come
right here on this bench.
Yeah, I just found it interesting that all of a sudden news leaked that his ankle is healing really, really well.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right after they said that.
I knew it was bad once he got on that video and he was smoking a cigar with the ascot. Talking about some, I can't be me if I'm not me. I'm like, all right, bro, it's a wrap. he see the retirement party scheduled for him.
And this is last year of his contract?
Probably. Because he re-upped in what? He was drafted in 2010.
I don't know, but either way.
Yeah, either way.
Whether they want to get rid of him or whether no other team wants him, I think he'll still be there.
But not past the season.
No.
Somebody else may sign him. Ain't nobody giving up assets for Cam Newton. Number
maybe
one.
A backup.
I think he might be a backup.
Yeah.
Will Teddy Bridgewater be the starter if even when Breeze gets healthy?
No, they're gonna put Teddy on. Breeze is coming back as soon as he's.
They opened up the offense for Teddy though, and he was balling.
Teddy is doing what a backup QB should be doing.
This is like Jimmy G and Tom Brady. No matter how good Jimmy G looked, this Tom Brady squad.
Teddy will be a starter somewhere.
Yes, is his audition.
Is this his last year with the on his contract with the Saints?
I don't know.
And even if it's not,
because he's the highest paid backup in the
league. He is. If he has a multi year contract next year, he'll get traded. So he'll get traded, or he
could be like, look, Breeze might be like, hey, bro, this might.
I think that's why they kept.
He could take over for real.
We'll see. We got to see what it play out like.
Breeze is up there
because wasn't Breeze's injury ligament issue? So we already know that his arm strength isn't what it was,
Breeze on the sideline doing this.
he's playing the 80 meters.
That's all he's
doing. Wars.
We 4-0, man. Just keep it going, Teddy. I'm just going to sit over here and do this. He cool. But I think this is really great for Teddy. I'm happy for him. He makes us look good. It's a great story. But I think we also got to give New Orleans credit. We got to give Peyton credit for spending that money.
Top three.
Just in case something happened. Mm-hmm. To have a quality backup. They could have let him go.
He's a first-round pick for a reason, right?
He was a starter before he got injured.
He almost won a playoff game it was for the kicker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think I would love for Teddy to – it would be a great story for Teddy to take over for Breeze once he's gone.
Well, he better get a hammer.
Starting banging on his thing.
Start playing that
hand game.
Do casino.
Man.
You know what's crazy, though? I think that – now, this is a hot take. If Teddy Bridgewater stays with the Saints, he'll be a top five Saints quarterback of all time.
That is a hot take.
Because think about it. You got Archie. You got Drew. You got, maybe Aaron Brooks?
Aaron Brooks was that dude.
Who else?
Didn't Dante Culpepper play for
him? Yeah, he went to Washington.
Oh, he was in Washington.
Yeah. Who's the other two? Teddy could take one of those if he stays.
Is that saying much, though, with that lineup?
We'll see.
Damn, remember Joe Horn?
I remember Joe Horn. Yeah, him and Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, man.
Well, who's the big running back
was
they
had
at that
time? Was it
Deuce McAllister?
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't win shit.
That was one of my Madden teams, though.
Yeah, mine too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are people sleeping on the Texans?
No.
What do you mean by that? You just said no. Like
I think they.
You said he's better than the best quarterback in the league right now compared to what most people would say is the best quarterback.
Bill O'Brien worries me.
Bill O'Brien don't worry me, man.
What?
He doesn't. You know, it was the way that team was constructed. We saw what happened in Indy with Andrew Luck, right? Injuries, sacks. Not, taking big hits from the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. He finally has an O-line that's good enough to protect Deshaun. That makes all the difference in the world. I don't think Bill O'Brien was the question or the reason why they struggled. They struggled because they were weak up front.
They struggled early this season when they played against some really, really top defenses.
And what was it, week two, week three that they made the trade for Laremy Tunsil?
Because
they knew what was up.
But the schedule is starting to lighten up, and that's why they're starting to win the games again, because the defenses aren't that tough. So what happens when – how does Bill O'Brien coach Texans, past that defense?
Texans,
I believe in Deshaun Watson. I don't believe in Bill O'Brien.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know if I believe in Deshaun Watson more than Bill O'Brien as far as, like, if we're trying to scale it out. Mm-hmm. Because he just doesn't make great play calling when it comes to crunch time. Like, I've seen it happen numerous times, especially in the playoffs. I'm like, all right.
And I'm not saying he's the greatest. I'm just saying I think that Bill O'Brien is a good enough head coach to win. And I think that now with an O-line.
In the regular season or offseason?
To win the division or just like a playoff game?
Because he looks terrible in the offseason. Whenever they get to the playoffs, they get smacked.
The only teams they beat is the Bengals.
That's it.
So looking at the Texans, the rest of their schedule, they got the Colts. They got the Raiders, they got the Jags, the Ravens, the Colts, and the Patriots. So out of that.
They can win all those except the Patriots game.
Yep. I think, how many games is that? One, two,
and they got,
three,
they four, and they got five, Broncos, six. Titans, Buccaneers, and Texans.
But Bill O'Brien will cost them three or four of those losses.
You said they played the Ravens?
Yeah, they played the Ravens.
Okay, I think those are the only two losses. Ravens and Pats.
Well, next.
Where we got? Okay. Can Lamar Jackson be Mike Vick 2.0?
Yeah, he can.
He's going to be Lamar Jackson.
Will he be better than Mike Vick?
Hell no.
Not you said hell no?
Hell no.
Not.
He threw for over 250 and he ran for a buck 50.
He won't be because we have never seen anything like Michael Vick in our lifetime, and we're going to hold on to that. Mike Vick was special. He was electric. He couldn't throw like Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson is going to.
He's a better thrower than Mike Vick.
Okay, better thrower, but not better arm.
Okay, maybe not. His arm might be.
Rather be a better thrower than have the better arm.
Lamar Jackson is going to take what Mike Vick did and take it to another level
from the passing perspective.
Yes,
but what made Vick special was his running ability. His throwing. You know what I'm saying?
And so, Lamar Jackson can't run like Vick.
No, he can't.
Not at all. I'm agreeing with you. I don't think he's going to be.
He can't
better
run
than
like
him.
Vick as far as
he,
nah.
Ooh.
Nah. No, I'm saying like as far as what do you mean? You saying it's like Earth and the Moon difference?
No. From a yards perspective, if you look at the box score, it looks similar. But context, if you watch the film.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying exactly. I'm just saying, but it ain't that far off.
Jeez. No, it is that far off.
Yes, it is.
From a running, it's that far off.
Look at that play he did.
Against St. Louis.
St. Louis and Minnesota?
Yeah. Oh, no, the Minnesota one. That's the one I'm talking about. In overtime, that first play? Come on, man.
I'm saying the kid is still young. We can give him time before.
No.
He already breaking records now in the second year.
I give that's Lamar Jackson all the props.
As far as being a dual threat quarterback, he like I said, he's the only QB in the regular season ever throw for 250 and run for 150.
That's not Mike Vick.
And that's cool. But the difference with Mike Vick, first of all, was more electric than Lamar Jackson. That's number one.
Yes, he was.
Number two, he was way faster than Lamar Jackson. And that's crazy as hell to say. Also, I think that Mike Vick was a bigger threat to score from anywhere on the field, running or throwing, than Lamar Jackson. Bigger threat.
And he also had receivers that couldn't catch.
Nope.
He had
Algie Crumpler. That's it.
And he made him, what, a Pro Bowler?
He made him a Pro Bowler. And he had a run game. He had work done.
Yeah, work done, but.
That was it. Because they had a young Roddy White. Yeah. And Roddy White was somewhat of a bum.
He didn't start catching balls until Matt Ryan came there.
Yeah, Matt Ryan changed.
Matt Schaub.
And Matt Schaub, too. But when
Schaub to Matt Ryan.
Yeah. But nah, man, just go to YouTube and look up Michael Vick.
No, I'm not saying he wasn't electric. I'm not saying he's better. I'm just saying, like, with the way he's going now, could you not see that he could be like.
And that's why I agree that he is Mike Vick 2.0. He's just not better than Mike. I agree he's 2.0. There's no I don't see a quarterback in the next 3 to 5 years that's going to be even close or as close as Lamar Jackson is to Mike Vick. So I don't see nobody else. But Lamar Jackson is Mike Vick 2.0. He's not better.
I think he has the template of Michael Vick.
100.
But I just Michael Vick is just
different.
Oh, yeah, man.
Is it like different. MJ Kobe type thing? Like you see the similarities, but he ain't the man.
He ain't the man.
I don't I don't even see Kobe to MJ. Michael Vick was just, there's no other player like him in football. It's hard for me to see that, man. But anyway, go ahead.
When would the Falcons clean house?
I already said it.
He should have been fired Monday. You don't lose to the Cardinals.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Especially that way.
No, you can't lose. Well, the kicker missed the field goal.
Hey, but you know the defense is giving up almost 35 points a game.
Hey, he's the defensive coach, ain't he?
Yep.
But don't we always say that you don't leave the game in the kicker's hands?
Yeah.
Or the foot.
And here's the thing. Like to Dan Quinn's, defense.
Go ahead. Shoot him some bail.
I'm just a little bit. I'm going to give him 100. He still needs 100 bands. The defense has been banged up. Losing Keanu Neal, that's huge for that defense. And last year, like, all of the injuries, they pile up. But that's no excuse. That's no excuse. Mm-hmm. Y'all already know I've been on the Falcons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For the last two years.
Just let them finish out the year. I mean, they're going to probably go 3-13 or something like that and just let get fired on them.
Why are you against firing coaches in the middle of the season?
I don't know. I feel like it messes up the morale of the locker room. Even if it's already bad, I just feel like if you're just firing right in the middle, I mean, like, what you expect? If it's already going down, just let him go down with the ship, fire him in the
offseason. But you know what, though? But I think a lot of respect is lost, too, to lame duck coaches. because the players already know, like, bro, you nigga, you're not gonna make it past this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they stop listening. I think that if you do fire, and I think it depends on what that locker room is like. I think the Dimitrov has a good feel, and if they are if they starting to disrespect Quinn, you gotta let them go. But if they're still playing hard for Quinn, and I don't see them playing hard. To me, they're not playing to their potential. I don't know. I don't get paid that type of money.
Yeah, we gotta, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I'm with you. You give him, let him play it out, see how hard they play for him, and then at the end of the season, be like, all right, man, all right, what happened?
Yeah. Either fire him right before the last game of the season.
I put it to you like this, man. They got to trade Matt Ryan. They got to trade Matt
to
Ryan.
To who?
So whoever the hell is willing to take him,
it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, him and Julio got paid,
and isn't he guaranteed $100 mil?
Yeah,
probably so.
Out of the 120,
we have to ask Kyle.
But here, what I'm saying is that there's teams that are gonna be willing to give up assets to get Matt Ryan.
Who? You got to be talking about teams that are competing, and if they're competing, that means
Jaguars. They'll be willing.
Okay. Minshew out there, you know what I'm saying?
I think the Jaguars will be willing to take a flyer on him.
They just signed Foles though.
Yeah, they got a lot of money tied up in court. Well, not a lot, but
how much did they get Foles?
They gave him a guarantee.
He got like 50, 3 years, right?
Yeah, $55 million for 3 years.
Okay, fine.
The Bengals.
He can't do nothing with them.
No, he can't. But the Bengals might want him. Washington.
They got Haskins.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, Haskins or Matt Ryan.
Is Haskins done? I'm saying, is he going to be like thrown away because of this whole situation?
No. I think this is going to save him.
It depends. If Matt Ryan is available, and we already know, what's the owner name? Quinn Snyder, Snyder, Dan Snyder, Dan whatever. Snyder. We know how he moves and how he operates. He likes names. And if Matt Ryan is out there and it's not going to cost him too much to get him, he'd rather have Ryan than Dwayne Haskins. But I think Pittsburgh. Because I think Ben Roethlisberger is done.
I think I agree with that, but I think Mason Rudolph, depending on how he finishes out the season, can prove that it's going to be his.
But is he better than Matt Ryan?
I think they'll do a coach.
He can be better than Matt Ryan.
They'll do a coaching change before they do a quarterback change, because it's hard to find a quarterback. And unless they're trying to tank for a quarterback right now, we don't know. They already paid, like Ken said, they already paid the man. Like, let's see if we can get a new coach. Maybe Mike Tomlin maybe willing to come down to Atlanta.
Shit, if I'm Chicago, I'm like, hey.
But who you giving up?
Just Trubisky?
Everybody but Khalil. Everybody but Khalil. Anybody. All of y'all.
All right, what's next? I feel where this
going. Now, I wasn't going to go in.
Who do you trust more for the second half of the season? Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott?
Wentz.
Why?
For me. I've seen it. I've seen it with both.
What are you seeing?
Look, I was not a Wentz believer until that MVP season. And I think he's still
win. So it's not MVP season. He just had a good season.
It was an MVP caliber season, yes. Okay. Yeah, he was MVP before he got
hurt. So Jared Goff had that last year as well.
You don't want to believe it. I still don't believe in Jared Goff like that. I changed my mind.
And I don't believe
in
Wentz, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know you don't, but I came around on Wentz. So I was like, forget that. It's a bunch of hype. And I was like, dang, nah, this dude is legit. And then I got a chance to see him like live with nothing. And that's how I kind of evaluate quarterbacks. That's why I'm like looking at Russell Wilson like, man, you making Tyler Lockett and DJ Metcalf and all these guys into great players. Carson Wentz, I don't know how he's getting this out of what he's. Aguilar can't catch the ball. Alshon Jeffrey looks slow. The only guy he has is Ertz. Doug Peterson can't figure out who he wants to get a ball to. But somehow Wentz keeps them competitive. They start slow, they pick it up. Another guy, we saw what Rodgers did last night. He lost both of his receivers. And turn, what's that guy? I don't even know his
name. Number 16, I forgot his name.
Yeah, it don't matter. That's the point. 16 and some other guy, and still squeezed out a win with some help from the referees. But that's how you kind of, for me, when I evaluate quarterbacks, what you said about Dak is that when you give him the weapons, he performs. When you take those away, he doesn't. I've seen Wentz take what he's gotten and gotten something out of him and actually won games.
But as you say that, they got blown out by Minnesota on the road.
They were on the road. And those weapons. He has no weapons. They you know, and so and that defense is pretty good. I wasn't surprised by the outcome.
So between the two, you got the Eagles winning the division.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I picked the Eagles coming in anyway.
FIFA, go ahead. This is your time.
Ask me the question one more time.
Who you got more faith for in the second half of the season, Wentz or Dak?
That's a tough question. That's a tough question.
It is.
And the reason why I say that is because I want to say Dak, but I think Jason Garrett is a lame duck coach. And I think that throws off chemistry. So I don't know how much I can trust him. And then also, isn't there OC? He's a rookie OC, right?
Kellen Moore.
He's a rookie OC. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go Wentz, mainly because he's been there, done that, and that pressure's been on him. And I think that once his receivers get healthy, you know, because you look at Wentz, man, like, their scheme, they haven't readjusted to what they currently have. They're still playing like they're built, but even though everybody's still hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that once everybody is back, I trust once more with his squad than what's happening with the coaching situation in Dallas.
So you with Dallas being 0-3, losing their last three games, mm-hmm. you blame that more on coaching than Dak?
I have to say, yeah, mainly because
I would agree with you on that as well.
Yeah, I have to say, yeah, because when you start off in the first half the way that they've started off and you have to come back every game, that's not sustainable. And that's up to the coach. If it happens one game, all right, cool. It happens the second game, you got to check. It can't happen three times in a row. It can't happen all season. Realistically, if you look at the majority of their season, the first half, they're not a first half team. You have to figure that out. That is on the coaching
staff.
Philly's
doing the same thing.
Philly's hurt. They're True. More hurt than well, Dallas.
Yeah, they're more hurt than True. Dallas.
Yeah, because D-Jax is still hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas is hurt where they're supposed to, like, this is what separates them from everybody else. Like, the offensive line is banged up. Amari Cooper's banged up. Like, these are the spaces that, like, okay, if we would have, if we're healthy.
And
like,
Philly receivers can't cover. The corners can't.
But they've always had a bad secondary the last couple seasons. Even when they went to the Super Bowl, they mm-hmm. had a bad secondary.
They just got a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Look, man, those losses, they're on Dak.
All right, man.
They're on Dak, bro.
I'm not saying Dak is absolved. I would say it's 40-60.
He's still top 10?
It's 40-60. Dak is.
I tried to warn you, man.
Dak is, I'm still going off with the season ain't over yet. We ain't even halfway out of the season anymore.
He's looked bad in these. Losses.
But some of those passes he's thrown
back it up.
Okay,
he looked great against lower tier competition.
Mm-hmm. Redskins, Dolphins.
I said wait until that schedule toughen up, and he don't look the same.
He's not getting help from his cast either.
When you jumped on his bandwagon, what I tried to tell you, FIFO.
No, I just say he looked good, and as of today, I didn't say long term that Dak was going to be top 10.
You framed it well. I just didn't want to even give you that.
No, but I knew what was coming. Man, I know what I'm talking about, man. I'm a veteran in this.
I've done this for a little bit.
No, I'm not.
And
I'm not.
Just like no, absolutely look, not.
This is what I know.
Do you see some of the picks that he's getting because of his receivers just like not catching the ball?
Oh, okay. So Dak can get Wentz can't.
No, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like as far as who I trust, I've seen.
He still got Amari Cooper. He just got Gallo back.
I've seen Dak Prescott win playoff games. I have not seen that from Carson Wentz. I haven't seen Carson Wentz finish a full season pretty much, to be honest. So I'm going with the guy who I've seen things from as
one
opposed to the guy.
Game.
He's won two or.
No, he's one and two. He's one and two.
That's the playoff record.
I thought he won. Okay, so he's won more.
And he don't have a Super Bowl ring. Wentz does.
Did Wentz? How many? Dak Prescott touched the field more than Wentz.
He put those
that Super Bowl run.
He put those 13 Ws on the board before he got hurt.
He sure did, and it was really because of him. You know, here's the thing about Dak, right?
I'm still pulling for you, brother.
Of course. Ain't pulling for shit.
When you let Sam Darnold miss, what is it, 3-4 weeks, come back and kind of really outplay you,
man,
that's not a good look.
That's where I say like he's in the top 12 right now. because it's only because he played the Jets. Shout out to Manny because I know he probably happy as hell. he got the win over the Cowboys. But
yeah, so I think it's a little. So yeah, I hear you there. But then now I'm kind of going back to what you're saying about the coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is somewhat of a mix because Dak hasn't looked great at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't let Sam Darnold come back after missing all the games.
And what's up with that defense? They all got paid. That's crazy. The defense got paid before the quarterback, yet they're the ones that are like, what's going on? You're supposed to have a stud on every part of the line, like from the defensive line, linebacker. They're supposed to have the best linebacking core in the NFL.
I don't know if they hurt or whatever it is, but that's that game when you lose to a team that hasn't like the Falcons and the Cowboys both lost to winless teams. I gotta look at the coach. Man.
They should have traded.
Now I'm looking at the coach.
They should have traded for Ramsey. Ramsey was talking shit.
Who?
The Cowboys.
How are they gonna afford him?
They can make the money work.
How, bro, you about to pay Dak. You paid Zeke. I know there's quite a few linemen that done got paid already. I know Van Der Esch is about to get paid. Damn,
you do a short 2-year deal. 2-year, $40 million guaranteed.
Man, look, bro.
I don't know.
Look. I think the team that he could have helped out the most was Kansas City, to me.
Dak should have signed that damn contract.
He should.
We don't know what the contract looked like, though.
It don't matter. Because
so you're saying if they offered him like $120 million, he should have signed that?
He's not playing himself into the $40 million range that he wanted.
But I think that's what they offered him. $120 million with like 80 to 90 guaranteed.
I heard it was like almost 30 or at 30. And he was like, nah.
Well, here's the thing.
He was sounding like, Nick, I don't want y'all a playoff game.
Yep. But now when you bet on yourself, right, like you have, that's a 50-50 proposition. And right now, Jerry Jones has the leverage in that negotiation. If we sat at the table right now, and I'm Jerry Jones and you Dak, oh, bro, you lucky you get 25.
But that guy, one thing to say, though, he was like, look, since I've been here, we've been winning. Now, the only person who's holding that I can arguably say that's holding us back is this nigga that you got as the head coach.
That ain't going to fly in the negotiating table when you've been playing the way he's played in the last three games.
The last three games, yes. But he started. But
that's 50% of your season.
We're saying if that trend continues, he lost all the leverage. Because I heard, and I forgot who's been at the negotiating table with him, but they said Jerry Jones come in and say, this is what I'm offering you. Are you going to accept that or not?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it, you be like, yes or no. And if you say no, he'll be like, all right. And then you get up and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever the agents and stuff start talking to you. That's the starting point. So
it looked bad for your
B,
boy.
B, who you riding with second half of the season? If you had to choose between the two.
See, I haven't really seen much of Carson Wentz play that much because they just don't ever show him. But based off how Dak been slacking against tougher competition, I would say Carson Wentz maybe.
All right, shit. Y'all got Carson.
We be trying to put you on game, Nick, and you don't be listening.
We gonna see. The season ain't over with. We ain't even halfway there yet. Season ain't over with.
I'm just saying, man. You know we got some experience in here. We're a little long in the tooth.
Do the Browns need to trade OBJ? This is a rumor that's going around. They said the same thing around the time when they were saying like New York need to trade OBJ. We thought the same things, and all of a sudden we woke up and he was gone. From what I'm reading, he doesn't fit in the offense.
So here's the thing. I listened to Colin Cowherd on this, and I agree with his evaluation of it.
He's a hater.
Right?
He is a hater.
He is. But he makes a lot of sense when it comes to this, right? Like Freddie Kitchens is a rookie head coach, right? He would even be a rookie offensive coordinator, wouldn't he? So with all that being said, we have who's on the other side of the ball of OBJ? Jarvis Landry. Landry is a 100 reception possession type receiver. Right. We had David Njoku. Obviously, he's injured now. He's not going to play this year. He'll be back next year. But you're talking about top five tight end right in the game right now.
Yeah.
Then you're talking about you got three running backs.
And Nick Chubb is arguably top five.
You know what I'm saying? And then Kareem Hunt's going to be back, what, in a week or so?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How if OBJ right now isn't being featured or being the most dominant version of himself now? How is he going to be that with everybody else around him?
Too many mouths to feed.
Now, if we were talking Sean Payton, we were talking Sean McVay, we were talking
Kyle Shanahan,
Bill Belichick, You know what I'm saying? The top five, Pete Carroll. We talking the top five coaches in the league right now with that roster? Oh, yeah. Even who my guy in Pittsburgh? I can't think of his name right now.
Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin. Matt Nagy. I could keep going in terms of the head coaches. You just swap out the head coach and the coaching staff? Oh, no. We talking Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? I think that they will be exponentially better than what they are. I think those type of coaches can make an OBJ fit. I think this is more on an indictment of Freddie Kitchens and what's happening with Cleveland versus OBJ. Now, it makes sense to trade OBJ if you're Cleveland. The man still has value.
You need help on the offensive line.
You need help on the O-line.
They just traded for somebody.
Who?
An offensive lineman. I don't know his name.
Okay. But what I'm saying is you OBJ still demands a king ransom, and I think that there's a lot of teams that can still use OBJ. Look at the Pats.
Didn't they trade a first rounder for OBJ?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can't trade him. Unless you get that back.
No, but the Giants already used them. They used the pick in this year's
draft. I mean, you can get it back in the future. You know, get it back in a trade package.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you get a first rounder back in a trade package. But then, are we guaranteed that the talent you have would be as good as OBJ?
No, we don't.
But hold on.
But that's the reason why I pointed out all of the skill positions. How much of a drop off do you really have offensively without OBJ? Let's be honest. You have 100 reception wide receiver out next to OBJ. You have a top five tight end when he comes back, and you have a three headed running back.
Point about Kitchens, how much further can you go with him, but with the right coach and the right scheme?
But the way Kitchen, from what I've seen, when he coaches a really good game or even a good drive, it's a lot of runs. Mm-hmm. He loves Nick Chubb. Offense through Nick Chubb, and then he used Jarvis Landry in between mm-hmm. that. OBJ is a home run hitter.
Yep.
That's all he really cares about is making big plays.
I wouldn't go that far.
You know, I think for me.
No, here's the thing. Like, he's a diva wide receiver. He wants the ball. He wants to make plays.
Exactly.
Right? But you need a coach that their philosophy is getting the ball down the field. Like a Bruce Arians would be perfect for an OBJ type wide receiver.
They had three that made it work.
Who?
Didn't they have three receivers that worked when he was coaching Arizona? Fitzgerald, Bolden, and who was the other guy?
No. He didn't have Bolden. You're talking early Arizona. When Bruce Arians got there, who he had? He had this one low round.
John Brown?
I don't remember.
John Brown was one.
I'm horrible with names. But he had a couple of lower tiered wide receivers with some speed that they got down the field.
I give you a better example of Freddie, again, going to your point. I'm just adding to your point. Mm-hmm. With Freddie Kitchens in terms of his coaching philosophy and I guess style. But shit, when the greatest show on turf.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all three made it work. And Marshall Faulk made it work.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You talking about Azahir Akeem, because that's the one that gets forgotten about. Mm-hmm. We talking Torrey Holt and we talking Isaac Bruce. Yep.
And you got Marshall Faulk.
Yep.
All of them ate, bro.
Yep.
All of them.
So it's possible. It comes down to philosophy. And the philosophy of Freddie Kitchens doesn't allow for all of those guys to flourish.
But for me, it's just like we're still dealing with a young QB. Let's move the coach to the side because we already know what
he is. You hear what Kitchens said about him? He needs to make better decisions.
He does.
And Arian said the same thing about Winston, too. He blamed three of those sacks on Winston.
Yeah, because Winston just dances around and just holds on to the ball when he sees two defenders coming to him. My thing is with Baker being young, the only success that I've seen a lot of teams with young QBs has, you got to have a run game and you need a tight end or something like that to
a defense to get the ball back.
You need a defense as well. And right now, the Browns have been getting up a lot of points.
You need smart decision making. And that was what made Russell Wilson special.
100.
Because
from day one.
Yep.
From day one.
He was smart with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He would run outside. It's not there. I'll throw it away. I dump it off. Yep. Or I go get this 5 yards and slide. Yep. Baker doesn't do that. Brady did the same thing. He was a game manager.
But you know what's interesting about Baker's game right now? Like one of the biggest things, the thing that separated Baker was his accuracy. And when you see him in the pocket, first of all, he has happy feet. He's not stepping up, right? Like a lot of his throws are off balance, which is making him inaccurate.
And you could tell that he wants to just get outside the pocket and make a throw.
I don't know, man. He doesn't feel
comfortable in the pocket at all.
He doesn't feel comfortable in this offense. 100. And I'm going back to that offensive coordinator.
But this is his guy, right?
The offensive coordinator, not Freddie Kitchens.
Oh.
Yes. And I'm going back to it. I think there's something there. And I'm going to hold on to it until proven otherwise. And, you know, if we want to take it a step further, say Freddie Kitchens hired him, then that's so be it.
I just think it's the entire coach. The coaching staff does not match the roster. And whose fault is that? That's the GM. The GM. Look, when
you say we're going to look at them too?
Yeah.
And
the
he
GM.
He came from Kansas City. What's his name?
He can build teams.
He can build teams.
I think
he got a lot of talent. If we just look at pure talent, skill positions, don't nobody come close to the Browns.
One thing I'll give you credit. I mean, you've been reluctant to accept Kitchens since day one. I was more of a wait and see. I just needed to see the results.
Me
field.
Too.
I've seen what I needed to see.
Yeah.
So I'm like, too. Okay, well, this he's to me, he's coaching like a first year coach.
It's just common sense. The guy with the least amount of experience is now running the whole show. It's like, no, Greg Williams should have won that position. Like, he should have been the head coach of the Browns. And I think you would even seen them build on top of that 7-game win season that they had. But when you throw all that experience out, all that, you know how Greg Williams coached too. He is the guy for this locker room. Mm-hmm. Freddie Kitchens is still learning on the job, and you got all these other
and all the rookie coaches are struggling like that. So it's par for the course, but it's unacceptable. But let's go back to John Dorsey, like you brought up.
That's the guy.
That's the decision he made. Like, you assembled all this talent, and the one key position that you need to make it all work is the coach. And you decided on this guy. He needs to be criticized the most.
Yep.
And I think he only did that because Greg Williams, he ain't going to take no shit from nobody. And I think with Freddie Kitchens, it's like, all right, it's somebody who's easier to work with. That's how I feel like most of these GMs do that.
They can't let John Dorsey off the hook.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, but most of these GMs, like, that's what they want. They want a guy that they can just say, give orders to, and he'll go do it.
5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Horrible.
Come on, man. Like, and when we're, you know, I know people have dumped on him, but I think part of that is because Baker's attitude. But where's, like, the real criticism of his performance as the number one pick? People seem to forget that. He was the number one guy, and nobody's dogging him.
Well, I think it's because everything's changed up so much, they're giving him bail for that.
Nope, we cannot do it. We hold number one quarterbacks accountable. We have to. They held Winston accountable. We got to, man. It, you know, who was?
He don't look good, man. And it's not like we've seen instances this entire season that's like, oh, okay, it's there. It's just, you know, we got to work through some things. It just looks bad. Every game. And I'm going to tell you the worst game was that 49er game.
Yeah.
That 49er game, I watched that game beginning, well, almost to end, because it was over by the third quarter. Like, I had to turn it off at some point. But watching that game showed me everything that is wrong with the Browns. You have talent all over the place. They couldn't stop the run. Their eye discipline wasn't where it needed to be. They were getting fooled by Kyle Shanahan's play call. Baker forcing and throwing throws that looked like a rookie quarterback, not a second-year quarterback trying to establish himself. It was just – it was all bad. And it was on Monday night. Mm. Everybody watching. There ain't no other football game, dog. It's just you.
Yeah.
Nah, man, that's not how you come out prime time with you over here and all of these national commercials and everything.
Hulu got live sports and all that shit.
Hulu got live sports. You out here – talking cash stuff, and you can't cash a damn thing but these sacks and these interceptions. That's a problem. And then you know what's another I think from a maturity standpoint, listen to what he says and how he says it in his before games and after games.
Yep.
A quarterback is supposed to take none of the credit when you win and all of the blame when you lose, and he's the complete opposite of that. And that's a problem, because you know what? What's happening with Baker in that locker room, he's being the divisive source in that locker room. He's not bringing guys together. Like, can you honestly say when you watch them play that they're playing for Baker?
And that's what, to me, the biggest transition was from last year to this year. Last year, I saw all those things that you were saying. Like, I saw him be someone who galvanized the team. I saw him being the spark for the engine that made everything run well.
And then this season is like the complete. It's like, what really was it really all that hype and that stuff got to their head? Like, was he really feeling himself? And now he's just he's been taken off a peg a little bit, and he's still trying to recoup from that. Like,
he had a 27 lead, right? Something like that
against who?
Against the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And blew it.
Russell Wilson was Russell Wilson.
Came back on that ass.
Ken, I'm asking you this question. Has Aaron Rodgers changed his ways?
Oh, he loved last night.
Because I remember, because he came out in a press conference before this game, mm-hmm. and he was like, look, because I told you, I was like, this is what he's doing. Like, he's accepted that he's broken all these stats, and now he's just trying to win. I think he had a press conference that literally said that, look, I've done everything I can in this league. I just want to win games. They winning games by running that ball. They are winning games by running that ball and good defense.
He loved last night because he knows that win was all him. When he lost his two receivers and he had number 16 and number whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a chance to throw to them and he dropped that beautiful pass in there.
Yeah. Aaron Jones lost his starting job based off that game,
nah,
I think.
Nah, just one fumble. He already knew what the narrative was going to be the next day. He's eating it up right now. But he does – I think he's coming around. I think he's starting to accept this running style, and he's loving this defense.
And this is what I was saying from the beginning of the season, right, that we know when it comes down to it, it's going to be on Aaron Rodgers. We know that in that clutch
He just
moment,
had to know that.
Exactly. That's why I think they could have won that Philly game.
He just had to know that. And I don't think he knew that in the beginning because nobody was talking about him. Now I think he's like, you know what, they – are talking because I'm like 5-1 now. Well, I was 4-1. Oh, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. And then 5-1, you know, that's my win.
You can't argue against winning.
So, no, you can't.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you do it, if you winning, shit.
Winning is winning.
Refs made some fucked up calls in that game, too.
They did.
Nah, I feel bad for you, B. I thought you were going to lose your fantasy game when I saw
that. It was horrible, man.
I was like, ooh, beating me 11 points.
Why can't the Lions close out these games? Like, they're in every single game.
Two words. Matt Stafford.
Thank you.
Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford.
He's not that guy.
Matt Stafford came out that game early throwing deep balls.
But it don't matter.
Matt Stafford didn't call those
That's what I'm saying.
No. The calls are the calls, but you got to play the game.
This is the best I've ever seen Matt Stafford.
It's twice he should have punched it in the end zone. You can't come out. You can't throw no 60-yarders, get in the red zone, and not punch that sucker in.
This is true.
You got a game like this. This is supposed to be a statement game for Matthew Stafford on the road because his road record is horrible against winning
horrible.
Teams. Horrible. Probably one of the worst in the last 8 years far as just.
And he get a pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know why?
Because the Lions, no one talks
100%.
About it. Yep.
That's 100%. Because look, you know how long. I didn't realize this until today. Mm. You know how long Matt Stafford's been in the league?
10 years.
11.
11 years.
He got drafted with 09?
Yeah, after the 0-16 season.
08. He was the first pick of that.
First pick, yeah.
08, bro. And here's the thing, right? Like, he looks the part.
Yeah.
Tall.
Yeah.
Scrapping.
Cannon for an
nice
arm.
Nice chin.
Yeah.
Cannon for an arm. Can make any throw.
No, mm-hmm. No outside of the, you know, no issues. All, yeah, off the field issues.
All
nothing.
Of that.
Nothing.
And on the field, he makes a throw that wows you, and then he makes the boneheaded plays. Like, what the hell? I think his best seasons as a QB was under Jim Caldwell.
Yep.
He got the turnovers down. Yep.
Went to the playoffs twice.
They were in position to win games. And he still was enough.
Didn't Caldwell get fired with a winning season?
With a winning record. He had a winning record. He coached there 4 years. Out of 4 years, went to the playoffs twice, which that's something we rarely did in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. So he took us to the playoffs twice and had a winning record. And they fired him after his fourth year. Then he let him finish his five-year contract.
For the record, I think I saw somewhere that said Russell Wilson lost communication in his helmet. He was calling plays on the field led to a touchdown.
Wow.
Led to a touchdown, man. Hey,
you know what, man?
Is he winning? Go ahead. My bad.
I was going to say, Pete Carroll and them need to start giving that man the Peyton Manning treatment. Hey, bro. Hey, just go ahead. These are the three plays we like. You pick what you want
to
do.
Audible, whatever you need to audible.
Yep, he's there.
Yep.
He's there. He's at that point.
You think he was – so he wasn't calling plays or he comfortable calling plays early on as far as that Super Bowl that they lost?
Do you think
he could have been – did he have enough juice, I'm just saying, at that time?
I think he did. I think that Russell Wilson is one of those guys that's not going to overstep his bounds.
Yep.
Like if the coach you know, he's not going to bring that up to the coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you want to do, coach? What do you want to do, Pete?
And he probably thought the play was going to work.
Yep.
Because it was like, that play had like an 80% chance to work because they've been doing that all season.
Yep.
So, yeah. And is he MVP?
Had that 1%, bro. He's the man. Is he the MVP right now?
I'm just saying, will he be the MVP?
Russ?
I think so. If the season stopped right now, Russell Wilson's the MVP of the league.
Because he's got, what, like 17 touchdowns and one interception so far? It's like, people don't talk about how productive he is.
They, like, no. Not the production, the efficiency. That's what separates
him and Tyler Lockett. I keep telling y'all, Tyler Lockett is somebody that y'all need to really watch in these games, especially that touchdown. He probably had the best catch of the season.
He's the new Doug Baldwin for him. They have great chemistry together.
They're like, what, 100% of fit, like completion percentage whenever he throws it
to him? But I think we can replace Tyler Lockett with any receiver and you'll get the same result.
He has that Tom Brady-ness to him.
Yeah, like, man.
See, and that's why, because if you look at Russell Wilson's numbers, they don't blow you away. The efficiency numbers blow you away.
This season they are, but usually they don't.
But even the volume, like okay, yeah, he has a lot of touchdowns. Is he number one in the league in touchdowns right now?
He's probably top three at least.
Because I know Mahomes has fallen. Like, he was on record pace. Now he's, you know,
and
back
because
to normal.
Lately they've been having to put up numbers, so he's been having to throw the ball long down the field.
But to me, like the volume, because I like, even last year, right? Like, Russell Wilson had an amazing year, but he wasn't top five in yards thrown. He wasn't top five in touchdowns. He was just, I'm pretty sure he was top five in completion.
He was top five in touchdowns.
Was he?
Yeah, okay. He had like 34.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so top five in touchdowns. I'm pretty sure he was top four in completion percentage. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure he was top five in third down conversions. You know, so I'm pretty sure he was top five in turnovers per game. So,
Matt Ryan has 15, Russ has 14, Pat Mahomes has 14.
Matt Ryan has 15 touchdowns?
Matt Ryan's balling.
This is not including rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he's got two rushing touchdowns. That's why he's got 17 in total.
Okay. But, yeah, man, like, what separates Russell Wilson, he has that Tom Brady factor to him. It don't matter who you put out there. He's going to get his, and you ain't going to stop him. That's number one. Number two, he makes the right play 98% of the time. Like, it's just, it's uncanny. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about how many quarterbacks run.
Three rushing touchdowns.
So, think about how many quarterbacks run to try to gain yards. Russell Wilson runs to make the right play. Mm-hmm. Whether that means I'm going to run for 15 yards this time, whether it means I'm going to just run out of bounds and not take the sack and stop the clock, whether it means I just throw the ball away. Whatever the smartest play is, Russell Wilson has the uncanny ability of making that play. And that's what separates him.
And I think he can match Tom Brady in Super Bowls.
I put it to you like this: if he would have got those first three, then he's on pace. But because what, well, he only
Brady
got one,
lost
right?
Three.
He only got one. He's only been to two Super Bowls. He only got one.
Tom Brady lost. What, he has three losses?
Yeah, lost to Eli twice in Philly.
But look.
But he's gone there like nine times. Like,
okay, exactly. No.
You gotta get there, man.
Ken, look.
He can start
the NFC. No. NFC is hard.
That's like the Western Conference.
We talk about
when you're the best.
We talk about the. We just got done talking about the NFC.
I see where you're going because you know the easy path that led to Brady getting to all the Super Bowls, and that isn't present in the NFC. I get all that, but when you're the man and you can get you a couple of buys and make them come to you. Hey,
the only one I say, like, he should be a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Pete Carroll is the one because Pete Carroll isn't Belichick, that's the question mark. But
again, Pete Carroll's close. That's what I was going to say. He's top five.
He might be top three coaches right now. I can't name three coaches better than Pete Carroll.
But he's not. I think Belichick is the Mike Vick of coaching. He's on a whole other level.
Yeah,
bro.
I get you. I give you that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, he.
Bill Belichick and Sean Payton. Yeah. Sean Payton, yeah. That's it.
Okay. Well, let's. What
When will the Chargers move on from Rivers?
They've been needed to.
They're going to ride it out.
You know what's crazy? They picked Mike Williams before Patrick Mahomes in that draft.
There's a lot of people that could have picked Patrick
Mahomes.
No, but
I'm just saying, in the same division. Literally right before him, because they was like, they were looking at Pat Mahomes. They were thinking about drafting him. Like, nah, let's give Rivers a weapon because we need a big weapon.
That was
weapon.
A smart play. Rivers was playing well. Yeah.
It's the same thing like with Eli, right? You was all gung-ho for getting Eli more weapons, right?
He can still.
I wanted him to be protected. I want him offensive line. I've always told you about offensive line. Like, I rather, because he had Odell at the time, so he didn't need more weapons.
That's not even, because Eli's done. It's, okay, Danny, yeah. It's Danny Dimes who's tried to tell you about his ass, too.
No, he's a rookie. Of course he's going to have growing pains.
You were hype.
No, he's a, I'm
like
saying,
everybody
he proved to me he's a franchise QB.
He ain't proved that shit to me yet.
You can't do that in three games. Four games, or however many games he played. Yeah.
That first game, I saw it. All you gotta do is get.
I can go out there and look good for a game, bro.
I'm just saying he's got the intangibles. I like what he got. He's
get the Shannon Sharp.
I think he's gonna be. I'm fine. He's gonna have growing pains. We always talk about Peyton Manning threw what 17 picks.
But Peyton Manning looked good doing it though.
I'm just saying that touchdown he threw to Golden Tate against the Pats. Nope. That looked good.
Nope. That's all Golden Tate. Anyway,
somebody got to throw it to him. But
Eli could have made that throw.
But y'all thinking River? Is it this his last year with the Chargers?
Is his contract up?
Yeah, I don't know. His contract up, but I think that's gonna be a wrap.
Yeah, when his contract up, yeah. But right now,
yeah, because I don't think they're gonna get rid of.
Yeah, they're gonna ride him out. He's been too loyal. He's been too loyal to.
Yeah, my Steelers tied with the Browns for they tied with the Browns and who else? No, that's it.
No, they're 2-4.
Yeah, the Bengals are winless.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the Ravens are 4-2.
Uh-huh.
And Ravens they almost got the Ravens. They going to win the division, man.
They could. I picked them, so I'm going to stick with them.
With who?
The Steelers.
The Steelers?
I'm still, yeah.
And I picked the Browns.
It's not over for them yet.
You picked the Ravens?
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
That's all?
That's all I got for the NFL. All
right, man. Yeah, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. What else? Y'all want to talk about this?
Let's talk some preseason.
Well, I was saying, did you want to talk about preseason or this China shit?
Man, China, like, we don't even really know, like, what's the resolution. Like, I know it's messed up, but.
Well, go ahead and get your preseason stuff off. Then we'll close out with China. What you want to talk
China's
about?
Back.
Did you see are those the new Clippers jerseys?
Yeah, they're like
San Andreas.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see those. Uh-huh. Yet.
You got
it's in the group me, man.
Yeah, you got
look. Man, look, man.
He don't be in that at all.
I don't.
We be in there. Active.
He probably gonna have like 300 messages or notifications.
Oh, that is dope.
Yeah.
That you know what? Look, that's very gangster.
And that's why I was surprised by that. That's like some low rider shit.
It is. Damn. But nah, man, preseason. I didn't see a lot of the people I didn't wanted to see.
Who you wanted to see?
Obviously Zion, but I'm gonna get to Zion. But with these Clippers though, I'm gonna tell you who's gonna be a real problem on that squad. Larry Shamet.
Yeah.
That dude, he's gonna be their version, or he's gonna be JJ Redick 2.0 for them.
Yep.
And he's going to get a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of open looks.
Yeah, a lot of open looks. He's going to shoot a very high three-point field goal percentage. I think he's probably going to be in the three-point contest. Like, I really like what I saw.
I'm interested to see how defensively Clippers, if they're going to gel well defensively.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man. Have you seen the growth of Montrezl Harrell?
Yes.
The man banging threes.
Yes,
he got a pull-up game now. He got a little handle. But yeah, I was trying to tell you. Look, y'all gotta watch.
He's working on his game.
Y'all gotta watch Rico Hines basketball in the summer.
Yep,
it's better than summer league because you see these real NBA players really putting in work on their game, and it translates to what they're gonna do the next
y'all
season.
Y'all think these niggas gonna do some shit?
Yeah.
You not sold again?
They're gonna be a top 14.
He think
the
Lakers gonna win a chip this year. That's what he think.
Shit, AD gonna play 42 games tops in the regular season.
Yeah, man. You know, me and my boy,
he might not even start the season
over. You saw how he almost got hurt?
Yeah.
That man made out of glass.
Man, that dude, I'm telling you, I think I said in the three, I said he's going to play 42 to maybe 50 games tops.
I'm on record about his ass, too.
In a regular season. In a regular season.
Do you think he's healthy in the playoffs?
Hopefully.
But all I know is he's going to go about 40 to 50 games the regular season.
Which is crazy because I think that.
That's half of the season, Dan.
Him and Bron are the best duo in the NBA.
They are.
I don't think so.
But why you don't get that.
I think I'd rather have a healthy Paul George and Kawhi.
You say you'd rather have, but are they the best duo?
I think they'll be a better duo.
You know why
I disagree with that? It's for the simple fact that in terms of the duo, there's not really one guy that can stop LeBron, and there's no guy that can stop AD.
AD's better than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
I don't know about Kawhi.
Because my thing is this.
I've never seen AD
either one of them. Can either one of them guard AD?
No.
We're not talking about clutch. We're talking about like.
But that's what I consider when we set, when we're talking about who's better than. Like, I gotta, we gotta talk about certain situations.
We're talking about game plan, man. We talking about
just because he's a big man.
No, but look, we can't stop that. No, no, but we've seen AD put up 25, 28, 12, and 6.
We saw Kevin Love do that too in Minnesota.
But it was different.
I'm just saying, we're talking about shitty teams. But it was
little effort.
Little effort and nobody else.
Yes.
Nobody
Kevin
else.
Kevin Love ain't had nobody else either.
Kawhi can't do that.
But okay, so I give you the offense. What was Kevin Love doing defensively? AD is a top five defender in the NBA.
When you the only team, when you the only person on your team playing defense, come on.
Don't give me that. Because you're elite. You're an elite defender when you can average 2 blocks a game, bro.
I'm just saying this. I'm not taking anything away from AD. I'm just, y'all asked me a better duo. I think that's a better duo.
But why?
Because I've seen clutch performances from both of them more than I've seen from AD as individuals. And as far as
You're saying PG is clutch?
I've seen clutch
Give me three PG clutch performances.
When, what was it?
Because I only got one.
It was in the regular season.
He used to be clutch until he got hurt.
Yeah. Before he broke his leg, he was balling.
But when he got hurt, well, I remember the PG that couldn't hit a shot.
The one game to me, the one moment that PG has was that game where LeBron had to dap him up.
Yeah,
that's his moment.
He has some moments during that playoff run, though.
Yeah, but the top moment that everybody
he's not clutch no more. I haven't seen him being clutch no more.
Kawhi, I give you that.
I can't argue. We saw what we did.
Can't argue that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm going off of that.
Put Toronto on his back.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen AD do up. That much put, as far as pushing the Pelicans forward.
With the beat-up Warriors team, by the way.
You play who you play.
We got to add contests, though.
But you play who you play.
Got to add contests.
I just think that.
Are you putting the asterisk next to it?
He is.
So that means you putting the asterisk next to some of the Warriors championships, too?
We've always added that little, not asterisk, but we've always that added caveat. That. Yeah.
The fact that LeBron.
But there's a lot of teams that won chips that, I mean, the Lakers. With Kobe, they won a chip against the banged up Celtics team when Kendrick Perkins got hurt.
I know. This isn't new for me.
I got you.
Yeah,
got you.
This isn't new for me.
So my thing is this: I think Bron is better than both Kawhi and PG
at this point of his stage of his career.
Yes, he still is.
I disagree.
He still is. Have you seen him?
I'll give you PG. I'm talking about Kawhi.
Kawhi too, because look, and Shannon Sharp said it. Kawhi had a career year. Right? Shot 49% from the field, got 25, 26 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. LeBron had an off year. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 51 from the field on an off year.
Didn't LeBron?
I don't want to hear it.
Didn't LeBron play more games than Kawhi this past season?
Nah.
Even while he was hurt?
Nah.
I think he did.
Well, even still, it doesn't matter.
It does matter because we haven't seen a full season of Kawhi.
Kawhi's had some games too, bro.
But what does that say about LeBron? More durability, and his off year is better than Kawhi's best year.
We haven't seen a full year from Kawhi yet.
But that's on Kawhi.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's on Kawhi.
It's on Kawhi.
Who's better though?
How many years did Kawhi miss? He missed like two seasons. Yeah.
I'm just saying, moving forward, you're still taking that duo.
But
over.
Today, moving forward,
you're taking that duo.
Today, I'm taking LeBron over Kawhi or PG. I'm taking LeBron damn near over the entire NBA.
Yeah, it's weird that it sounds like you're dinging LeBron for getting hurt. But Kawhi for missing two seasons.
I'm dinging LeBron. I'm just saying, like, I haven't seen a full season of Kawhi. I saw half a season of Kawhi and he won a championship.
You're not going to see a full season of Kawhi.
We don't know that.
But here's the thing. At the end of the day, answer me this. Was last season Kawhi's best season of his career? Yes or no?
Yes.
And it was still worse than LeBron's off year. So I don't want
to
hear it.
But LeBron's off year didn't get to the playoffs and Kawhi won a chip.
You're adding to it, and that doesn't matter. Yeah,
we're talking player. We're not talking about wins and losses. We're talking players.
And I'm okay. So we're talking players. This upcoming season, we're finally going to see these duos in live action. I'm putting my faith in the Clippers and their duo than the Lakers.
Look, and then here's the other thing, right? Like, I think,
but also they have a way better roster, overall roster.
Than the Clippers, right? Said individuals, or we were talking about the duos. Because you're going to my point.
So you're talking about their, so you guys, you're saying the stats?
Well, the stats and the players individually. If we look at, right, like in the NFL when we're looking at QBs, right? QBR is a very telling stat, right? Because it takes. It takes a lot of stats, and it kind of gives you an overview of who you are. In the NBA, that stat is per, right? Your player efficiency rating. And you're talking about LeBron in the last 20, 30 years, he's number one. He's number two to MJ, and AD is top five all time in the NBA. All time. I'm not talking the last 5 years. I'm talking how long has the NBA been in existence? Like 70 years now, 60 years now? You know what I'm saying?
If you're including the ABA shit.
Top five all time. PG don't hold a candle to AD. Kawhi, I give you that compared to AD. But LeBron is better than
AD was on a bad team. Does that not take account for like his stats?
No, because per, even if you look at Kevin Love's per when he was getting them 30-20s and 20-20s and stuff like that, because it also includes plus minus in that. Plus minus is also a very telling of how much are we up when you're in the game versus when you're not in the game. Kevin Love has never been a high per player. He's never been a high plus minus player. AD has been both.
I feeling Lakers going to be like a 6 seed or something this year.
Oh, hell no. You disrespecting them.
That's the preview show.
Yeah, that is the preview show.
Go finish your point, though.
It's because of how much load management AD and LeBron going to be on this year. So, like I said, I'm already guessing AD's going to play damn near barely a half of the season. So that's going to kind of –
That's going to definitely affect
that
season.
That's going to kind of ding them a little bit. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Lakers be a 6 seed off of that.
And LeBron –
I'm not saying if they're healthy. Now, if they were healthy, yeah, I would be tripping by saying that shit. But, like, I just have a feeling that we're not going to see a lot of LeBron and AD like we think we are.
So I'll say this. If you go into the history of the show, it's all documented. I've been big on Kawhi Leonard. Like,
I also said the Lakers weren't going to make the playoffs last year, and I was right.
Man, we don't need to bring up that old
shit. In our preview show.
As I bring up old shit, I've been big on Kawhi Leonard, like, way before everybody's new adoration with him. I think people are just so caught up in Kawhi Leonard. I think they're just looking for somebody to supplant LeBron. But Kawhi Leonard, as great as he is not better than LeBron James or AD. And I think people are so in love with that run he had last year that they're blinded by that. They're blinded by that.
How are you blinded by clutchness, though? Like, he snuffed out the MVP of last season with Giannis.
Oh, that was
he took out the Sixers, who was probably expected. Everyone picked probably going to the finals.
Great shot. Yep. And Embiid was hurt that series.
And I know it was a banged up Warriors team, but he handled the Warriors.
Let me ask you this.
But he didn't.
Went through every good team that you could say in that run.
And LeBron would have beat that same Warriors team.
Would he have got past Philly or Milwaukee?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, Nick, let me ask you this. The last time that LeBron played for Cleveland and they played against the Warriors in the finals, Pascal Siakam was better than any other player on that Cleveland team, yes or no?
Wait, what? Say that again?
Pascal Siakam of this last season, right, of the Toronto Raptors, was better.
Oh, you're talking about – I thought you were saying something else. Yeah, he was.
He was, right? Who – on that Cleveland team could hold the light to Fred VanVleet and what he did in that playoff run.
Nobody.
My point is that Kawhi had way more help than LeBron did. Way more help. And LeBron played a healthy Golden State Warrior team. And I think that if they would have won that game one, I'm not saying they would have won the series, but winning at least one or two games in that series, it was bigger than what Kawhi did this season.
We all said that if Golden State was healthy, they was going to win. We all know that. But I'm just talking about the team.
I put it to you like this. Klay could have stayed out, and they would have had KD, and Golden State would have won.
I wouldn't disagree with you on that.
All right, well, we'll be
so
all
preseason,
night.
Preseason. Because we're going into
I only got one question for y'all.
To the opening show.
For to kind of lead us into the preseason show. What team are y'all watching closely this year? As far as
I gotta think about it.
Yeah, there's quite a few. So we'll leave that for the show on Sunday. But preseason. Have you guys watched any preseason games?
I watched the Lakers Warriors preseason.
I watched two of the Pistons games. I watched the Hawks and Pelicans when the Hawks and Pelicans played.
So what did you take away from the Hawks?
That they're gonna be fun to watch this. They're gonna definitely be a fun team to watch. I think they're still not gonna make the playoffs. They're just gonna be a fun team to watch. They're gonna be a fun team to watch. And I think Trae Young, is he getting a little thicker now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Offseason, baby.
Yeah.
I was trying to tell y'all about him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Trae Young.
He's going to take a big jump.
Trae Young going to take a big jump.
He's comfortable.
I think he's going to take a big jump, man. I'm interested to see how these young guys going to.
So I'm glad you brought up the rookies. Yeah. I heard it here first. I'm not saying I'm 100%, but I'm pretty right when it comes to evaluating young NBA talent.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks drafted Kawhi Leonard 2.0. That boy DeAndre Hunter is a lot bigger and better than I thought he was.
But remember I said that in the draft when we was talking about the draft. I was like, look, people all glitz and glamour over Cam Reddish.
Yeah.
Because that was like the cherry on top. But they went up and got that guy for a reason, man. He was the fourth pick?
Yeah, man.
They went up and got him for a reason.
That dude, you look at his show because he's not big right now. But you look at his physique.
Man.
Oh, my God. He's going to add 15, 30 pounds of muscle when it's all said and done, when he gets into his prime, and if, 23,
and
24.
Cam Reddish.
DeAndre. John Collins. And Trey.
You keep that young nucleus together.
Oh Hooter.
Hooter out of there. I said that on draft night. When they were able to get DeAndre and Cam Reddish, Hooter's time was a wrap.
And they need like a vet, too. They need like a.
But did you see their vets?
Jabari Parker.
Yeah,
man, is he like a vet though? I'm looking like
Evan Turner.
Okay, Evan Turner. I'm thinking like the Andre Iguodala's, the Sean Livingston's, like vets, like that type of vet, like locker room vet. That's what they got. Vince Carter. Is he still there?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is
Swan Song year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Jabari.
So Vince is a good locker room.
I like Jabari. I feel like injuries.
Yeah,
just,
it just
crippled him.
Yeah,
because he had two tear Achilles, right?
On the same knee.
Yeah.
He tried to come back too fast, but that's neither here nor there. DeAndre Hunter, I know.
I look, man. So you think he's gonna be the best player on this team, like potentially? If like once everybody hits, he has the most ceiling.
He's gonna be their best two way player. He's gonna be the key to being able to slaughter teams. Because the rest of their
core. Cam Reddish can be a good two-way player, too.
I don't think he'll ever be what DeAndre Hunter is going to be defensively.
Just because of physical.
Physical tools. You're talking, like, this dude's wingspan. It's because crazy. I know the stats. I know he got a 7-1 wingspan.
But to see it?
Mm-hmm. And then the hand size. His hands, he looked like Kawhi, bro.
They went up to get him for a reason, man. People just nudged that off. Like, Atlanta got... When they get Cam Reddish, it was like, shit.
I got hella goosebumps talking about this guy.
Because
it was even the shots that he was taking. Like, he's Kawhi because he doesn't have to force shots. The shots are going to come to him. He's going to take the mid-range joint. He's even keel. Like, he's Kawhi 2.0. And he's going to be the reason why Atlanta is going to be able to blow teams out in the future. Not this year. He has to get acclimated.
Keep them together. They're going to be a force.
Yes, 100%.
They're going to be a force.
They all on their rookie deal, so ain't no reason to break them up.
So what's another takeaway?
Another takeaway, Trey, and I told y'all this, like, going into the offseason.
Just from preseason?
Preseason from the Hawks or just anybody
else?
Zion's that guy. Zion's going to get 20 points a game. He's going to get 20 points a game because this is my thing. This is the thing I said last year about Trae Young. With young players, do they have to change their game to be able to play a level up, going from AAU high school to college or, you know, from college to the NBA? We saw Trae Young, right, in AAU and, you know, all of these YouTube highlights. We saw 40-foot three-pointers, dimes, alleys, floaters. Did it change when he was playing for Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. Did it change for the Hawks?
Mm-hmm.
He's legit. Zion, I questioned the level of competition in high school that he played against, but then he went to Duke, and what did he do? He shot 60-some percent from the field. He shot 80-some percent from free throw line. He shot 34% from three, and he averaged 18 points on a stacked Duke team.
And my now, Spartans got him, baby.
Hey, we ain't talking about that. That don't matter. But now he is playing in a wide-open system, bigger court, more up and down, that actually adds to his game. Man, that man's a grown-ass man, dog. Mm-hmm. That is a grown man at 18, 19 years old. Did you see him against Rudy Gobert?
I was surprised he was still doing the things he did in college and the NBA.
That's why he legit.
That little scoop shit he doing. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the play against steps. Rudy Gobert when he went to float it over him? Rudy jumped, and then he went and second jumped, a put back dunk off of his own miss floater? Mm-hmm. Bro, yeah. Zion, and I'm not saying he's LeBron, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying he is Zion, and you're not going to be able to stop him. Yeah. And at some point in his career, I think he's going to win at least one MVP award.
All right, you got one more?
I know you want to say it. You was putting that Ben Simmons 3-point shot.
Oh, that's look, I already told you. That's nothing.
Thank you. That's the same thing I tweeted, man.
Yeah, like look, I already told y'all he has a jumper. I'm not saying he's Steph, but he's gonna take and make jumper shots this year, and that's gonna catapult.
He got a knockdown on 15, 16.
He
plus.
Does, and I think he now. Is. Yeah, after the footage that I saw him, what he was working on, Philly's gonna take a big ass jump next year. I think that Philly today, right now. Away. All right, so, that's the opening.
Oh, I've seen Memphis too. Whatchamacallit?
John Morant.
Yeah.
I saw highlights. I didn't watch the game.
I think he might be all right.
I like Wendell Carter.
Me too. I like Wendell Carter.
From preseason, I think Mitchell Robinson would probably be Defensive Player of the Year.
That's a very hot take. You could keep that.
That's my hot take.
You okay, man? You don't want that fire? You can still eat your meat cold and uncooked.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
All right, well, if you don't got one, we got the preview much, coming. China.
All right. Well, I guess it's a quick summary. For those you don't know, Daryl Morey caused up a whole international, I guess, some type of scare when he tweeted out his support for Hong Kong and their fight for democracy in China. And the NBA, well, China responded by pretty much damn near cutting ties with the NBA for this summer. Like, all the events, posters, whatever the hell that was going on.
They took all the posters down and still had the game.
They still did have the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had that game.
I thought they canceled a couple games.
Mm-hmm. Bro, they played that shit.
Well, it looked like they was canceling everything and trying
to. It looked like that. Them Negroes were in there playing.
But then the backlash really came when most of the NBA players and even the commissioner was trying to pretty much walk back Daryl Morey's tweet and kind of saying, like, you know what, he doesn't represent us. We still love our relationship with China, and we're still going to continue to do business with them. And then people are saying, like, how y'all going to be this progressive professional sports team? Y'all was taking subtle shots at the NFL during their low times, and now that we see you that you're going to keep this relationship with China, who has questionable government, you know, surveillance over their country, just questionable stuff in general, yet you're still going to support them and do business with them. So it was just pretty much that PC social media outrage. Does that trickle down into this season at all, or is it just now null and void since, like you even said, the games got played?
I think I saw that they stand to lose $25 million this year off of this China stuff that's going down. I think at some point they'll repair the relationship. They love basketball. China is an authoritarian country. State-run capitalism. You don't have a lot of rights in terms of freedom of speech there. We saw what happened with Blizzard. Well, for those of you who don't know, listen to Dead End Gaming, we covered that. I don't think that – first of all, I think the players should just shut up and dribble. I told y'all that in the trap. I said it in the chat, and I'm saying it out loud. I ain't running, I ain't hiding. They cannot speak to this geopolitical stuff as of yet, and that's what LeBron said. He said, I like to talk about shit I know, and I don't know shit about this shit, so I'm going to just stay out of it. And then he proceeded to say that Daryl Morey should have did the same thing, and then he clarified it and said he should have waited a week. And then everybody jumped on LeBron James for that.
But then what
But none of these players really know anything.
That's why they shouldn't be talking.
So you're saying they shouldn't talk about politics in general?
They shouldn't be talking about this shit?
Exactly. Who lives in China?
No, but I'm just saying, in general, you could bring that question up in like any type of political, you know, conversation. Like, how much do you really know about something?
It
wouldn't
have came up if it wasn't for Daryl Morey.
Yep.
It would. Yeah, I agree.
So,
but since he did it,
they should stay out of it. That's Daryl Morey's business.
Exactly. Talk about Akron, Ohio. Talk about these streets. Talk about police brutality here. Talk about inequality here. We don't live in China. We don't know what day-to-day life
they
is over there.
They don't even know why them motherfuckers over there protesting. It's not for democracy.
But this
shit is all over a goddamn extraction law.
But some of these players and even coaches have come out and questioned, you know, the president about the way he does business, the way he deals
here in America.
Here in America, yes.
Right, where they live.
But also it deals with international affairs as well, as far as with the Muslim ban and how he deals with immigration.
Here in America.
Here in America.
Where they live.
But that's still, I'm just saying, like, I get what you're saying, and I do agree with you, but to a certain extent, I think that if we're talking about what you really know about, there's a lot of shit that these players in general don't know about. Now, LeBron James of the world and the Malcolm Jenkins and, you know, Colin Kaepernick and those type of players, they may know more, but in general, they don't really know that much.
But it's a lot easier to get educated on stuff that's happened domestically than in some geopolitical stuff that's going on overseas that has to do with this extradition. Yeah, law that really started this whole thing because they don't like it because they can basically send the I don't even know the shit. I've been following the shit since it happened.
And it's confusing. It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I had one post on Instagram August 13th about China. And all it said was, they ain't playing. And I had one comment that said, neither is China. And that was it. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting into the details of it. I've been following it. I hear it all. I cannot explain it. All I know is it has nothing to do with me. And that's their business, and that's all I've been saying, and for the players need to just leave that shit alone.
But the NBA is an international business. It's an international sport. When you do business with other companies,
which they have been doing this whole time,
you take exactly, and you take
under these same type of regimes.
Yes, but my thing is,
what's going on in China isn't new.
I agree with that, but I'm saying when it comes to where is that the line is only America. So anything else outside of America, that's above me. That's outside of me.
They need to leave that shit alone, unless they are fully educated on it and are able to speak in a clear and articulate manner, like a politician. They outside of that, leave that shit alone, and they don't care about that, and that's where they messed up into jumping in this. And then everybody else, B, what's that sister's name, that lady that got killed in Fort Worth, Texas? What's her name? I want to make sure I say her name right. Yeah, Tatiana Jackson?
Yeah, Tatiana Jackson. Yep.
That shit happening right here.
Yep.
Still, that shit just happened. This is the shit that we're dealing with here in America that we need to be aware of and try to get fixed. We ain't got shit to do with what's going on. What's going on in China?
But Americans in general always put their nose in shit that they don't need to be in. So that's what I'm saying. This goes with their brand.
And you know what? You're right. It went to Daryl Morey's brand. But LeBron and all the other players that their brand is, hey, I know y'all buying my shoes. And I know you guys like the game, and I'm going to come over here and play. All the politics and stuff, I'm going to leave that to the people that know about that stuff and that can deal with that stuff and that can handle that stuff.
This ain't my fight.
This is not my fight. My fight is what happened in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yep.
That's what I need to deal with. That's my fight, too, as a father with two kids. China has to fight their own battles. Mm-hmm. They have to fight. If they want to fight for their freedom of speech, then that's something they got to fight for after they deal with all this other stuff.
Exactly.
And for everybody that's on Twitter that's sitting there trying to jump on LeBron James for what's going on with China, I know some of them may, but I know a lot of them may not have even said a goddamn thing about what's going on in China until this shit came up. So they motherfucking hypocrites too. I haven't seen, you know, I bet I can go through their timeline and don't see motherfucking posts about fucking Hong Kong or China.
Right.
But as soon as the shit break off, oh, LeBron, you a hypocrite. Nah, you a hypocrite for calling him out because your ass ain't saying shit either. You're just the same. Because you're not educated enough, so why you expect him to do
but
the same
why,
thing?
But the again, I'm playing devil's advocate because most of y'all are saying y'all are on the side of stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the last year when they were talking, when Adam Silver was like, we'll let our players, you know, speak their mind on how they think. We let anybody really mm-hmm. speak their mind. Why? It's because of money, right? We all know this. It's because yeah. of money why they say don't talk about China. Mm-hmm. Is that not hypocritical? Like, if it affects the brand, then don't talk about it. Same way the NFL said, if it affects the brand, leave it alone.
You know what? No, it's not. And I'll say the reason why I don't think it's hypocritical is because he didn't say Daryl Morey can speak on it. He just said that, and he said, I respect Daryl Morey's right to free speech.
But they sent out a whole, don't talk about it. They
asked
the question.
Because the shit got goddamn messy, and as a company, you got to get the shit back under control. So at that point.
Why your players over there.
Yeah, and that's, it's a safety issue. They yep. were still over there.
Yep.
Who knows what could have happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And so that's the safety aspect. We got to get them back, and that's kind of what LeBron was saying. Did you ever hear from your father?
Yeah, he said, Ali didn't start speaking about Vietnam until they started coming after him. Because before then, he didn't have no reason to.
I saw, shout out to Manny. I saw him retweet this. And the tweet was, my parents had Ali, I got LeBron. It was sad. And I was like, you know what? Maybe not. Because LeBron spoke out about shit that was going on here. But then I thought, I said, LeBron. And that's why I wanted to verify with somebody that was around. What was Ali saying before it affected him personally? When he got drafted, he was like, hell no, I'm not going. I'm not going to fight in that war. Mm-hmm. And that's when he became an activist.
Yep.
He wasn't speaking out before then.
The Viet Cong's never said no N-word to me. Yeah.
But it's when they called him to go fight. Yep. And that's when he was like, no. So it's not like people talk about Ali like he was out there fighting and speaking up for that shit before he got drafted. Nah. So when it became personal and started to affect him, that's when he had something to say.
So my takeaway from this is like, until it affects you, don't talk about it. Don't worry about it.
I'm just saying that
that's
when
what my, that's
people
what
try
to a degree
that's
though.
What my
no, but I think that especially if we're talking about international type of,
but I'm talking about in general because that's what Ken's point was, the main thing. If it's black issues and you're a black person who grew up in these environments that you can relate to, and you have experiences or you've been educated on it, you can speak on it. Outside of that, don't talk about
100%. Like, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Like, would you appreciate white people saying, yeah, I understand the black plight and Black Lives Matter and this, that? I'm not saying that they're wrong for doing that, right? But you really don't. You can be pro us, but you don't know what it feels like.
Yeah, but this issue that we're talking about isn't, it's a government issue. It's human issue, right? When you're talking about government and you're talking about that many people.
So people want to say it's a human rights thing and they're trying to pull that in, but that also tells me that they don't know what the fuck they're talking about because they don't know what the protests are about.
Yeah.
Because it's not about that. And it's as simple, it's a quick Google, right? They just know what they've heard or what they know of China based on the history books. Enes Kanter from Turkey, right? Mm-hmm. He's had some issues last year. He just wrote mm-hmm. a post about that mm-hmm. shit. He's speaking out about shit that he know mm-hmm. that affects him personally.
Yeah.
So kind of going back to what you're saying, what was going on domestically here in America affected the basketball players personally because they may have black. Well, they all, most of them are black. Mm-hmm. So they may have got family members. They may have their own kids that could get killed just going out doing their own thing. They're not over there. Personally, it affected them over there in China because of what's going on. But when they get back, because that's a safety thing. But prior to Daryl Morey, it didn't affect them. So, and then the other thing is, I'm looking at this and I said, well, let me do a little Google search. So I did China and black issues. And this is what I found. China and India have a huge problem with racism towards black people. China has an irrational fear of a black invasion bringing drugs, crime, and interracial marriage. China has no problem with racism, and that's a problem. That's on the first page of Google. So they want all these people over here to sit here, and black people to sit over here and come to China's defense when them motherfuckers don't even really fucking care about black players like that. And I'm not saying all of them. I gotta say this.
Right.
It's not all of them, obviously.
Right.
This is just some of the issues that some of the things that they have with, you know, towards black people.
Just like white people.
Just like white people. So my point in bringing that up is saying that is that we have a fight. Black people have a fight that we have to deal with here in America ourselves before we start running out trying to free and save the world. You're absolutely right. America always have a problem with sticking their nose in other people's business when it benefits them monetarily. But, and we can see that with Haiti. Oh, them motherfuckers ain't running over there trying to help them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they run their ass over there? Shit, we can think about all kinds of genocides that happened that they don't take their ass over mm-hmm. because there's no benefit to them. Oh, but when it's some oil, they're going to run their ass over there and try to free us about mm-hmm. democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So just like we were saying in the chat, just like we're saying, you know, I hope whatever they have to deal with over there in their country, I hope they get it resolved. Whatever they want to fight for, I hope it's worth it and they achieve their mission. But I don't live over there. And my kids are black, 11 and 4. And I know there are a lot of problems here that affect me way more than what happens over there in China. It's not my business, and I'm staying out of it. And like I said in the chat, the athletes need to shut up and dribble. Leave that shit alone, man. It's not worth it, bro.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
But that was the black commentary moment from Kid. I think most of the time, man.
I was trying to stay out of this shit. Y'all keep bringing me in this
because
shit.
I just find it interesting. It's just like. You just see how certain things is like, oh, when you break it down to the simplest thing, it's like, okay, yeah, shut up in general. Or, yeah, stay out of things that you don't know nothing about. So it's really basic. But when you're talking about something as far as, you know, all the stuff that they're mm-hmm. going through, it's like it's not that simple. It's complex. There's context to it. But then that's when you're like, all right, this is above me.
Funny, man, because people are like, man, we need LeBron to say something. We need LeBron to say something.
It goes back to that Ja Rule, Dave Chappelle skit or comment. Like, why the fuck do I need to hear from LeBron James when I need to hear from someone who actually is there and knows what he's talking about, he or she's talking
plenty
about?
Plenty of podcasts that can educate everybody on this thing that's going over there before the NBA even got involved.
And that's why I don't like entertainers always mixing with that, because then
if you don't know what you're talking about,
that's how you get a Trump. You know what I mean? When you try to get other people or other things who are not well versed and not experienced in certain shit, and you elevate them to platforms that they really should not be in, you'll get these results.
And sometimes, honestly, even if you know what you're talking about, you probably just need to shut up. And so I don't know. It's a personal thing, but yeah, it was funny. Like, wow, we need to hear from LeBron. We need to hear from LeBron. Soon as that Negro opened his mouth, hot water. And all he just needs to be like, yo, the people that's handling it are handling it. And I don't know anything about it, but, you know, I think Stephen A. said this, I believe in democracy and freedom of speech and that here or whatever. Some cute little saying he had. My thing is, man, that shit ain't got shit to do with me.
You can't say that on ESPN.
LeBron can say that shit.
Man.
It's that simple, man.
Yeah, all right. That's it.
All right, so that's going to do it for us this week. Sunday, live. We're going to try to do it live.
We're
going to
do it live?
Hey, man. Okay.
Hey, give it to the people, bro. You know me.
Yeah. I'm with it. NBA preview, and it'll drop Monday on the feed. And that's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch y'all next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.